And he's woken up and obviously not a morning person. He was a bit cranky and we had a bit of a blue where he fell over the balcony into the garden. And so I'd recently renovated the bathroom and all that was going through my mind was he's not using my fucking shower. So I went in and unrenovated the bathroom. And, then I went downstairs and got one of his beers out of my fridge and went to the front veranda and sat there and waited for the police to come because I was on an island. There's no need to run. And I knew the cops personally. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Then
you threw him over the balcony?
Oh, he went over the balcony.
வருது
Gone to the footy game, everyone. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. My name is Ari Shaffir. Ari Shaffir. No, wait. That wasn't bad. I'll leave it at that. I've been in Australia for 4 weeks now, 3.5 weeks. The whole tour, the whole Australian leg of the Wandering Jew tour was a resounding success. Taking this fucking Jew hour to places that never even heard of Judaism. Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth. Yeah, Sydney and Melbourne, sure. But I'm talking about places that are fucking, what the fuck are you talking about? And still making them laugh? Still explaining to them? That's why I do what I do. But it's not just that that's made it fun. Oh, no. No, the reason it's a success for this Australian leg is I did hella activities. Dude. First of all, so many bushwalks. I finally found out what bushwalk means. It means walk. Instead of forest, they just have bushes. So it's like walk amongst the bushes. It's not even like, oh, bushes in place of forest. They don't really have trees in those places. They're bushwalks. And then they also have walkabouts, which I didn't understand what that is either. But that just means like walk around, walk about. Walk about. You ever hear something so like simple that you're almost like shocked you didn't know it before? Sometimes it's because when it goes to your brain, you don't have the information, and then it's already set. And then by the time you get the new information, you can't reprocess. I remember one time Joe Rogan, he's a commentator for the mixed martial arts company called the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We were talking about the Doobie Brothers, and he was like, he was on the way to Tempe, Arizona Improv, I think, and he was like, yeah, they're like a weed band. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're a weed band? What do you mean? He goes, yeah, Doobie. And I was like, oh, fuck. I just had not even ever thought of that. But of course. But man, this trip was a great trip. I did so many hikes. I went to beaches in Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne, three different places. And I'm going to go in the morning on a three-day two-night live aboard from Cairns down to the Outer Reef for the Great Barrier Reef so I can do some scuba diving with some white-tipped sharks and some dories. I'm nervous. I haven't been scuba diving since I learned how to scuba dive a year ago in East Timor. Nope, not true. Right after East Timor, I stopped on my way home to Bali for 3 more days and got my advanced paddy certificate. So I've done it 7 times, and I'm going to do it 10 more times in the next 3 days. Whew, that should be fun. I almost like backed out. I was so nervous yesterday thinking about it that I was almost like, I have trouble breathing under the water. It's fucking weird. It's fine when I forget, but then when I think about what I'm doing, I start like hyperventilating. Dude, I freaked out once in East Timor on Atoro Island. I start breathing heavier and heavier. And my God, my teacher, it was just me and him. Dude, if you get a chance, I mean, nobody's going to go to fucking Timor Leste. There's no fucking way. But if anybody does, and you're looking, I mean, it's actually one of the more expensive countries in Southeast Asia. The motorcycles are $25 a day instead of the regular $5 to $7. Otaru Island, it's fucking dead. There's no one there. I didn't realize scuba diving, that's the way I learned, where there's no one around. He takes you out and that's it. That's it. They have a house reef there. You can just walk out and it's fucking huge. Anyway, I was fine walking out the first few times. But then when we went off the boat into what he said was the deep blue, this Portuguese instructor. And then I couldn't like get my bearings of what's up, what's down, what's left and right. It was just kind of like, once you're floating, I was just like, I started breathing heavier and heavier. And I was like, I'm going up. And he was like, no. And he tried to grab me, but I'm fucking, at that point, I was like, you ain't grabbing me, motherfucker. I just pushed him off and swam up fast. Faster than I would have, really. Don't grab somebody. Don't grab somebody when they're having a freak out. Man, maybe that's not the best advice. Maybe you should. But dude, I did so much stuff. First of all, I went to the footy game, which is, I always thought, was just almost like American football, but just slightly different, kind of like the way the CFL is, where they just get running starts from the backfield. But it's nothing like American football. It is rugby with, instead of throwbacks, you just punch the ball to each other. I mean, it's almost the same thing. It was a weird fucking sport, but I had fun. Watch Melbourne lose to Richmond. You know, in the Australian Rules Football League, AFL, they have like 12 teams and 8 of them are from Melbourne. So I went hiking a few times. Well, one of the funnest things I did was I met my friend. Well, no, I'll do that afterwards. I went hiking in Perth. I saw these amazing things called the fucking Pinnacles Desert, with these sandstones like coming out of the desert. They look gorgeous. Look it up. I'm for sure not gonna have time to build this website the proper way and to show you guys the pictures. I did actually post it on Instagram, so if you go to my Instagram feed, you can see some pictures of it. But I mean, that was fucking rad. Then I took a nice hike in the south to Mount Cook. Met a nice lady. We talked for a while. Someone who gave up all her like fucking social media and all their fucking worldly goods. She's just living with your mom, raising her kid. That was interesting. Hearing somebody who's like given up on technology a little bit and then like a success story. She said all her friends are like slowly going, like, at first they're like, wow, I wish I could do that. And then after 6 months, they're like, how you doing? You handling it okay? And she's like, yeah, what do you mean? 6 months ago, you were jealous of me. Oh, do you think that I've lost my way? I wanted to do this. And it's like we all said, it's a better way of life. But she did it. It was interesting to talk to her. And I saw live kangaroos. First one on a trip down south of Melbourne, down to like Bushrangers Bay. Dude, they're scary as fuck. All I heard was if they grunt at you, they will slice your stomach open. So all these cute kangaroos that I would love to feed. Dude, I get so nervous when I see any wildlife, especially alone. If I hear a fucking squirrel in the underbrush, I'm just like, oh my God. I get frightened by so many birds, especially when I smoke weed. By the way, I owe an apology to the Australians. In my last special, Double Negative, that's available right now, I said that Australia has the worst weed in the world. Well, I hadn't been to Perth. I hadn't been to Adelaide. I've only been to Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane. And I said that based on those big three cities and the weed I got there. And now that I've been to Perth and Adelaide, well, my opinion of the Australian weed hasn't changed much. It might have gotten a little better. I mean, the best stuff I got, the people who have like white guys with dreadlocks, the kind of guy they're giving you stuff where it's like, all right, if you smoke that in LA, you'd be like, yeah, that's fine. And that's the best they can do, is where you'd be like, yeah, I didn't notice it. It was just weed. I don't know. It wasn't strong or weak. It was just there. And that's the stuff that's supposed to blow you away. And I hadn't smoked anything but Australian weed for fucking 2 weeks. So bullshit. But I do owe you an apology because it was the worst in the world. And since I recorded that special in November of 2016, Oh, no way. Oh, I took 4 months off and I'm building this year. I've been to Indonesia and Australia. I'm happy to say that now Indonesia is the worst weed in the world and Australia is now the second worst. So congratulations, Australia, on having better weed than Indonesia. Yeah, I saw a fucking kangaroo. I fell behind. I was pissing with my buddies. So I saw my friend from Myanmar, my friend Ryan, who was in my third group. And he's still been traveling, and he's living in Australia now. And the first few days I was in Melbourne, he was in Tasmania, in Tassie. And then we met up, went on this hike. He came to my storytelling show. It was so fun. God, it reminded me. Fucking traveling. I got this goddamn Osprey bag. Osprey. But like, I'm not putting it in hostels. You just don't meet anybody unless you stay in hostels. I got a cool Airbnb in Fitzroy in Melbourne, but like, the rest was just like, oh, well, I get it, hotels, but it's like, you should just stay in a hostel. You'll get more social. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Anyway, so we took a long hike. Then I went to pee, right? He comes. I start walking up. The three of them, him, his buddy Kyle, and this chick Amy, a Canadian Chinese lady. They're all still and huddled. I'm like, what? And they're like, shh. And I come up, and it's this fucking giant fucking man-sized kangaroo. I mean, like 3 feet off the path. And they're like, what should we do? Should we make a break for it? And I'm like, no, what I heard was if they grunt at you, that's the only danger sign. But unless they do that, then we're fine. And then Kyle was like, yeah, that's exactly what he did. He grunted at me. And I pulled backwards. I'm like, fuck. So we all just stood there. And the thing took like one hop to the left. And we stood there for a little while longer. I was frightened out of my mind. And then we're all like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And so we just kind of moved past. I mean, I was waiting to push Amy down if that fucking thing had turned. But it didn't turn. It turned the other way and just kind of hopped off, kind of looked at us and hopped off. They're so fucking weird, kangaroos. They're like mice, but overgrown with little T-Rex arms, claws in the bottom. They're like nothing else. Platypuses are the same thing. They're like nothing else. They have pouches to keep their fucking young in. What the fuck is a kangaroo? Anyway, got a picture of one. Finally, saw my first live wild kangaroo. Saw a bunch on the side of the road, dead. I assume car attack. Anyway, I got a picture of it. Not that one, but we saw another one after we walked past in Bushrangers Bay. If you're looking to see wild kangaroo, maybe that's the place. Go to Bushrangers Bay. Cool hike, not very challenging, but beautiful. You come into this fucking bay, this alone beach. There's just you. You can't really go up to anything more than like your knees because it's like the undercurrent is fucking crazy. But like, oh, I love just coming out to these places and seeing like by yourself. When I got to Brisbane, I took a 2-hour hike in D'Agostino National Park. I was looking for one hike, but the GPS in my car didn't find exactly what the All Trails app found. So I don't know. I just drove up and then I was like, yeah, this looks good. Dude, I mean, in America, there's no hikes that you can just be by yourself. This one was 2 hours. I thought in a loop and then 2 hours back. I wasn't sure. At some point when I'm like, the sun's going to go down. How long have I been going? Then you got to turn around. So 4 hours and I passed zero people. Zero. Did not see a koala. Wanted to. Anyway, that's not the cool part. The cool part is this. I was in, not Sydney, Adelaide, doing a hike. I passed like 12 kangaroos. Yeah, they were all just there, just nibbling. It was fucking magic. One of them looked at me, and I was like, oh, I just stopped. Then I was like, wait, they ain't going to do shit. Oh, because when I got back, I asked about those kangaroos. I was like, oh, no, that's just the big red ones in the middle of the country that'll fucking gut you. The rest are pretty chill. Anyway, so I saw these kangaroos. And I learned kangaroo call. Kuruku, kuruku. it's an indigenous people of Australia, the Aboriginals. They originated this call because they communed with the kangaroo. They thought it was magic. Kuroko. Yeah, they first learned it, and they would lull the kangaroo into a sense of security around them. Kuroko, kuroko. And then, when they gained their trust, then the Aboriginal people would slaughter the kangaroos, hundreds of them. Kuroko, kuroko. They would feed out of their hands and then just slice their throats. Beat them over the heads with didgeridoos. They were brutal people, the indigenous, the Aboriginals. Yeah, and they didn't, here's the tough part. They didn't use the meat at all. They killed the kangaroo because the left toenail was considered an aphrodisiac. The left big toenail on the kangaroo, they threw the rest out. They only used the left big toenail. The rest they just left out to do nothing. And here's a weird thing. In order to get like one dose, one boner pill, you need three kangaroo left big toenails. So that means three kangaroos have to be slaughtered by building up their trust. Kuroko, kuroko. Three of them every time they fuck. Wallabies, interestingly enough, do not have the same properties, but they would teach their young, the Aboriginal, to murder kangaroos on the wallabies. They'd be like, you guys are too young to get any aphrodisiac. Why don't you murder some wallabies? And that, they would just like throw the whole thing out. They would practice pulling off a toenail, but then, you know, maybe make a necklace of it, but just chuck it. Beautiful people, beautiful people, beautiful history. What a fucking fun time. By the way, I should tell you this. From doing this hour in these cities, Melbourne and Sydney, sure, you've got Jews. Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, and Brisbane, no Jews. They don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I go to these cities to make this shit work. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce two big shows in Washington, D.C., June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the D.C. Improv, my home road club, the first road club I ever did. A guest set I ever featured, I ever emceed. I'm returning home. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of June. You should get tickets. Tickets sold out in Sydney, and we did not add any shows. Unless they sell out soon enough, I don't plan to add shows. I don't have any interest in it. So, like, get them, you guys. There's too many stoners who missed out in Sydney. Get the fucking tickets now. It's going to be a big show, and it's fucking killing this material right now. It is killing. And then, at the end of June, June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, San Francisco, California, at Cobb's Comedy Club, a place I used to open up for Joe Rogan. San Francisco, California, June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Get tickets to both of those right now at arithegreat.com. Yeah, get your group together. Get tickets. And then I've also announced my Edinburgh shows. I'll make a full announcement soon. But those tickets are there. And my European tour, all but Zurich and Jerusalem and Tel Aviv are coming. Those three are coming, but the rest are all up there. So fucking get tickets, you guys, but especially DC and San Francisco for June. You want tickets for that. And if anybody's going to be in the Reef Encounter in Cairns, or if you're going to be in Cairns and you want to like join me for, I don't know, a one night live aboard, I'm going Thursday night, Friday night, come back Sunday. So fucking join me Friday night. Join me Friday if you want. I'll fucking dive with you. I will push you out of the way into the way of a reef shark, though. You better believe that. You guys, okay. So this Australia trip has been fun as fuck. And while I'm here, I did a couple podcasts. And what better person to do a podcast with than a real-life, authentic Australian animal? Their national bird, the bogan. You might have remembered a couple years ago I did a podcast with Nick Cody, whom I saw in Melbourne. We hung out a few times, always fun. He explained to me what bogans really were, but he explained who the biggest bogan comedian was, and that's Chris Franklin. He embodies everything about Boganism. And he's not embarrassed about it. Bogans aren't embarrassed. Here's my theory about Bogans, or my every culture, every almost state, definitely every country has garbage people. White trash, perhaps, in the South, or rednecks, actually, in the South. Bogans in Australia. I believe that's where the N-word came from for black people. It's just like the worst of the group. And that's what you call them. I wonder what Jews have. I guess it's just Jew. Garbage people. Every group has them. Yeah, white is white trash. New Yorkers have Long Island. Anyway, and Bogans are Australia's white trash. The weird thing is, you'd be like, so he explains a little bit about cashed up Bogans. Like, these are newly rich Bogans that are like, oh, if they just invested their money or educated their children in one generation, they would be better. But they won't, because they're not thinking that way. They're thinking, oh, I got money, the same way Joey Diaz used to have money. He goes, it just means more coke. And for them, it just means more drinking, more partying. Let's have a good time. Chris talks about this a little bit in this podcast. He became famous in Australia for releasing a song, a fucking Weird Al type song, I'm a Bloke, a cover, but just all about being a Bogan. And he kind of hit big here for a while, but it didn't change him at all. He's still that fucking Bogan, man. He's fucking got this long mullet, his beard, he wears tank tops unironically. Like, if that version of that guy was in LA, it'd be him trying to be this. But it's not with Chris Franklin. He just is this fucking Bogan. And there's different types. There's the type that goes to Australia and gets drunk, and there's a type, and he's calmed down at his old age, but he's still a fucking Bogan, drinking VB on the front porch till the day he dies. And he's fucking nuts. He got whatever. I mean, you'll hear it in the episode. But, yeah, I guess we should just start. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that I kind of forgot about? I don't believe that there is. I will try to build this website up. I got to put some fucking Mel Brown AFL fights in here. I got to put some pictures of the kangaroos. Dude, when I saw those 12, and I was all by myself. I was nervous. And then, so I came back. I was like, no, fuck this. I came back around a loop because I saw it looped around. And then I caught him the other way and just took pictures and just kind of like stood and watched him for a second until this one kangaroo started going, breathing in and out real heavy. And I was like, all right, buddy. All right. All right. I love talking to – once I get alone for like an hour, I become full crazy. When I was hiking in Brisbane, up in D'Agostino, a couple drops, and I was an hour and a half out. And I'm like, fuck, if it starts pouring rain, the sky was black, I'm fucked. So I held onto a tree, and I just go, hey, buddy, if you're up there under the sky, can you tell him to hold off on the rain for about another couple hours? It'd make my whole experience here a lot more pleasant. And then I was like, thanks. If I come back around, if I don't find a loop, I'll come back and say thank you. I'm fucking crazy. And then later, so I kept walking another 45 minutes. And I went to another tree and like, hey, it's starting to rain. I think your buddy was looking out for him. I think you guys are all connected here. If you can remind him and tell him I said thank you, and also tell this guy, like, keep holding off. I'm really having a great time here, and I really appreciate your surroundings here. Just, you know, help me out a little more. I'm fucking nuts, man. I full on talk to trees. What the fuck? Anyway, I can't wait for this trip. I still got a lot to do. I got to fucking pack up a little bit. I got to shave. I'm going to trim this goddamn beard and hair. I hope they got a fucking scuba mask that's big enough for my goddamn Jew nose. Every time it pushes it out and then water gets in. It's the curse of the Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. Shall we? Yeah, I got this shit to do. I got to fucking do it and then go to sleep. What time is it? Oh, 8:49. I got to sleep in an hour. I get 8 hours of sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, with the real Bogan, Ari Shavir Skeptic Tank, episode 324. And by the way, if for the Photoshop people, I'm back on Twitter asking for Photoshops. I am not going to be doing that on Instagram anymore. So if you want to make one, if you want to try them, I always appreciate the people who do. I pass, you know, $25 on to the one I use. And just reply in the thread with your version of it. And that way everybody gets a look, you know, and see like the ones they saw. So at least people will see it no matter what. And that's the only way I'm going to see it now. No DMs or anything. I'm not going to see any of those. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's Captain Tank, episode 324. Could be three. No, I think it's four. Could be five. I think it's four. Last of the real Australian Bogeekans. Last of the Bogeekans. Get it? Because Mohican. But Bogan. You guys get it. I think you get it. With Chris Franklin starts now. I'll do introductions later, so don't worry about it. But like somebody at Perth gave me some weed with one of those think bags, one of those think proof bags.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I was like, fuck it, I'll chance it. It's not an international port.
Yeah, yeah. So we never get checked anywhere here, really.
Really?
You traveled, my partner Michelle's here, but you've traveled with pot. Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, in America, nobody cares. No, yeah. The people who care are like nerds who are like, they'll put me in jail. I'm like, dude, it's not even that bad.
Yeah. I probably stress more than Michelle does. That's only because I'm not a real big smoker of pot. So I go, oh, I don't want to get caught with that.
So it makes you more worried.
Yeah.
Is it even that illegal here?
Yeah.
Like legit, like I'll put you in jail or like?
No, you'll get a fine for personal use or whatever, I think. Yeah. And a criminal record.
Right. Which, yeah. I mean, I assume you already have anyway. So like, that's not an issue.
Just add one to the list.
Where'd you grow up, man?
I grew up on the Mornington Peninsula, south of Melbourne, about 70 kilometres south of Melbourne.
Okay.
A little town called Crib Point, country town.
Crib Point?
Crib, C-R-I-B-P-O-I-N-T. Yeah.
Who's there? A lot of fucking country people?
There's no one there, really. There's Australia's largest naval base is there. Land base, that is. It doesn't have any ships there, just a training facility for the sailors.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, growing up, teen and early 20s, that was the sport, fighting the sailors at the local pub.
Yeah. I just went to down near Flinders. Is it near there?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Part of that base is out at Flinders. They have a gun turret off a cliff at Flinders, and they practice shooting a target that's towed behind a plane.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be that pilot.
Did they ever have the plane?
Yeah. These are the guys that are training to be gunners on the ship, so they could hit the plane.
They're not even that good yet. Yeah. Man, I would not want to be. I used to work on a golf course, and we had to pick up balls, like range balls.
Oh, yeah.
And all those little kids who were working there just tried to fucking hit the golf cart whole time. It was in a cage.
Do you have a helmet?
No, but the whole thing was caged in.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But then they have some people that I've seen go through with just like a mattress on their front and back, and they do it manually. And of course you try to hit them.
Oh, for sure.
It's a long shot, but you do it.
It's funny. You go to those courses where they might have barrels on a lake at certain distances, and you try and get them. You'll never get them. But if someone's wearing a mattress at a driving range, you'll hit them every time.
It's like, it's curving. I think we got a jump. Just watch them fall over. Yeah, you had a weird life though, dude. How'd you get from there to like to stand up?
Dad was in the Navy. That's why I was down that way.
Oh.
And I joined the Navy at 15 three quarters.
What?
Yeah, junior recruit. I was sent to Western Australia. They training here at that age, you do a 9-month recruit training, and you also do English, maths, all those normal school subjects as well as.
Oh, it's like preview for the fucking military.
It's like you are actually employed by the military just as a junior recruit. The adult recruits do 3 months training, and they just do ships stuff.
Yeah.
And a junior recruit will do that 3 months of ship stuff with English, maths, science, all the normal school classes in there as well. So as you can join as an adult at 17 anyway. So by the time we've done that 9 months, we're up around the 17 years of age when we do our trade training there, and then fully qualified, and off we go into the service.
Wow, why did you sign up?
I think I just always thought I was going to follow in Dad's footsteps. I never thought about it. It was just what I was always going to do.
Yeah, isn't it weird how you just like assume you're supposed to do certain things?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like as you become an adult, you're like, wait, why?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed cooking. I was a cook in the Navy because Dad was a cook in the Navy.
Really?
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. But once I got out of that lifestyle, after the Navy, after cooking in civilian life in restaurants and things, finding out what a fucking shit job it is. I did a few other things, but stumbled into comedy, and I enjoy cooking at home now, but I would never do it for a living again.
Did you when you went to Western Australia, did you train in Perth?
Lewin. HMS okay. Lewin is at Fremantle, just out of Perth.
Okay. I went to that fucking nude beach in Perth.
Which
Swanbourne, maybe? Or
Swanbourne,
something?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Just a bunch of gay dudes looking to go up into the fucking dunes to fuck.
Oh, right.
That's
right.
All it was. I don't know why I thought it'd be the French.
So, how'd you go?
I got six dudes, bro. No. But then they had all that SAS training. They were like, don't come up here, we're shooting.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I forget the name of that base, just north of Perth. Yeah, that's where our elite forces train. Just,
oh, wow.
Just
but
in front of the
nude beach. Off that fucking gay/nude beach.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. I could shoot a ball off from fucking 40 yards. Were all the people you grew up around? I mean, well, I use Bogan, by the way, in the most positive possible sense.
It's the only way to say it.
Very good. Did you grow up around them?
Yeah, a lot of the guys in Crib Point in general was Bogan Central. It was a country town, but everyone had the flannelette, the mullets growing up. We all grew up the same. We're all over the country now. My two closest friends, one lives in Cairns, married with two adult daughters who are getting married themselves now, and he's still got the flannelette and the mullet. And,
really?
Yep, he's up there. And our other friend, the other close one, Tony, is still in Crib Point, hasn't left, married down there, had kids down there. His kids are married now and still a Bogan at heart. Yep.
What is it with the mullet? Why is that their uniform?
It's a lifestyle, not a hairstyle, Ari.
Oh, okay. Explain that to me.
It's just a part of who you are. You see, driving down the road, a motorbike might pass a motorbike going in the opposite direction. They'll give that one finger wave off the handlebar. Just acknowledgement. Yeah, we're both on a motorbike. If I pass someone in the street with a mullet, we're just a bit of a nod of the head.
I saw a guy, a city worker, with yeah. one today, and I'm like, man, with a guy who had like a straight haircut.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck. There's that lifestyle, huh?
Oh, yeah. I often say I didn't even mean to get it. I went into a barber's and said, how much for a haircut? They said, $20. I said, I've only got 10. Start at the front and go as far as you can.
You've got it like feathered in the front too, and then like it's nice and smooth in
everyone
the back.
Everyone says, how do you look after it? You don't. You just wash it and brush it.
That's whatever
it.
Happens. Yeah. Looks like a koosh ball on top.
It's quite interesting going to a barber, doing what we do. We travel a lot, so I end up in barber shops in places I don't know and barbers I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And you've just got to trust them to do the mullet. Could I have a mullet, please? And
to see if they even know what it is.
Yeah. Some do, some don't. I was in the Middle East recently doing shows for the troops.
Yeah.
And I had to get my hair cut over there in Kabul in Afghanistan. And I walked in, and before I'd got to the chair, the guy was laughing at me because everyone in Afghanistan has short back and sides. And yeah. And he said, what do you want? I said, about half as long as it is at the moment on the top. And the sides. And he said, what about the back? I said, leave the back. He said, so you want half a haircut? I've never thought about it like that. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Damn, that's cool. I like getting haircuts at other places too. Just be like, yeah, fuck it, I'm here.
Yeah, let's see what they do.
Yeah, when you're on the road for that long too, you're like, I got to do it eventually. You know?
Yep.
Fucked off and didn't get it before you went. Like, it's
your hair's twice as long as last time I saw you out here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Shaved last time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like cutting it easy, just like a real nice buzz cut and then let it go back in for like 3 months.
Yeah, cool.
And not touching it. when did you start drinking?
Like most Australian boys at about 13 or 14.
For real?
Yeah.
Heavy?
Yeah. That crew I was talking about in Crib Point, all our parents had liquor cabinets or whatever, and on a Friday night we'd all be on the push bikes like trying to get E.T. home, but we'd have all the stolen liquor from our parents' cabinets. We'd go up to the part of town that had the cul-de-sacs or courts built but no housing on there yet, and we'd just get drunk there and try and ride our bikes home again.
Oh, that's fucking fabulous.
Competitions to see who could skull the most out of a bottle of Stone's Green Ginger Wine, which is absolutely horrid now.
Yeah, do you ever go back and like look at the shit you drank when you were little? And
oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
My father, being in the Navy, had flagons of port and sherry and all these things I would never touch now. Yeah. And we were drinking them like they were spirits or wine, and just absolutely horrible.
My dad got mad at my brother because he had a nice bottle of scotch. My brother was like sneaking that, and he was like, "You're chugging scotch?" He goes, "Get the fucking Jameson. Use that, you idiot. Don't go for fucking nice shit." Yeah, you can't appreciate it.
You get to an age where you're smart enough to put the bottle back to the level it was by using iced tea or something like that. So when dad finally has a drink again, what this shit?
Yeah. You got to cover it up. When did VB become such like the fucking national brand of the Bogan?
Well, it varies around the states. Bogans in different states. In Queensland, they prefer their 4X Gold, which is only a mid-strength beer, but that's a fairly common beer. A mid-strength beer.
Okay.
We have light beers, a percentage of alcohol.
Oh,
light
really?
Beers, full-strength beers and mid-strength beers, yeah.
Why, so they can get more of it down?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like in Buffalo. They always try to the kind of marijuana that just makes you just sit there like dead.
Yeah, right.
They call it couch lock weed. And I'm like, why? It's like, because we're in Buffalo, man. There's nothing to do. We want to make sure that this situation's a better.
We're happy just sitting here.
Yeah. Did you ever try to like sober up?
I have on a few occasions. A previous partner of mine, we actually met in an alcohol rehabilitation center.
Oh, yeah?
Live in for 3 months, and then we lived together for 11 months after that before we both started drinking again, and it became quite violent. So later in life, when I started comedy, she came to a show, and we met each other again. And so when we got back together the second time, we said, right, we're not going to drink. And I went about 6 months, I assume. I was touring away from where I was living, and assumed that she had gone the same amount of time. And then on the computer at home, these images had popped up of parties she'd been having while I was away with glasses of wine, and she's having a great old time.
You fucking so bitch. I went sober for nothing.
Yeah, fuck that. So, I started drinking again and got a bit violent and I left again.
Do you get rowdy when you get drunk?
No, not really. Most people will say I'm a very happy drunk,
That's what I've seen, actually.
Yeah.
A couple times I've seen you drunk. It is pretty fucking nice and friendly.
I'm just used to being drunk. That's why. We had the end of Melbourne Comedy Festival party last Saturday night, and I was there with Michelle, and I'm just used to drinking that often, that I was my consistent drunkenness there.
Yeah.
But all these young comics who had not used to letting their hair down at the end of a festival had just got absolutely smashed, and it was just no fun to be there around them.
Dude, they don't teach people how to drink responsibly.
No.
And I don't mean not getting drunk. I mean like getting
how to be responsible while drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're already blitzed and you've had two more shots, you're like, hey, water from here on in until these shots hit me.
Yeah.
Or something.
You said to me, when you're coming around to do the podcast, I think I've got a permit for you to park in this area. I said, I don't drive. I lost my license in the year 2000.
For what?
Drink driving.
Okay.
And a few times after that, which became accumulative.
Oh, they double it up, right?
Yeah. So I'm allowed to get it back in May of 2021. So I've lost my license for 21 years.
What?
But leading to what we were just talking about, even drunk now, I reckon I could drive a lot better than the sober fuckers that are out there getting around. So, it's just a matter of controlling the alcohol.
All the Chicago guys I know, because they drink closest to Australians of anyone I know in America, and they're like, it shouldn't just be blood alcohol level you test. It should be like, how well you handle it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I slur two drinks in, so I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't drive. But if you can fucking walk a straight line, then you're like, you're good.
I could fly the plane home.
It is fun trying to get that car home when you're drunk. Trying to follow the car in front of you and just be like, I'll go his speed.
Drunk or stoned, I'm terrible stoned. Michelle said to me, we can't afford for both of us to smoke pot at home. I said, is it because the pot's so expensive? She said, no, it's because you eat everything in the house. And because I'm a chef, once I've run out of things that are pre-made, I get the flour and butter out and start making things.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be great to be around high.
Then we've got to restock the pantry, restock everything the next day. But when I drive, when I'm stoned, 2 kilometers an hour all the way home. Very safe, but it takes forever.
Yeah, I was doing it yesterday from Bushrangers, whatever, and it was like, I noticed I was going 15K below the speed limit.
Yeah.
And then, like, cars are honking and passing me. I'm like, sorry, I just don't feel, like, safe to go any faster right now.
Sorry, I'm American.
On the way down, I was going 110. On the way back, 85.
That I couldn't imagine being stoned and sitting on the opposite side of the car to drive it.
Oh, yeah. It does get weird. Especially the roundabouts. That always kills me.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm just, like, looking at the guy in front of me.
Yep. I spent 2 weeks in LA, and even as a passenger in the car, just turning corners, I'd be going, we're on the wrong side of the road. No, we're not. We're in America.
It feels strange as shit.
Yeah.
I've gotten in the wrong side a lot when people are like, let's go. And I just sit in the driver's seat. I'm like, nope.
Sorry. Did that often in America and in the Middle East that they drive on the American side. So, yeah, getting on a bus to go somewhere, I'd go to what side I assumed the door should be on the bus, but it's on the completely opposite side.
Here's the worst one was Myanmar. Myanmar, however you guys say it here.
Yeah.
They use American-style cars. Oh, seriously, they use British-style cars, but they drive on the American side of the road.
Right, so the steering wheel's on the curbside.
Yeah, wow. So you're as far away from the oncoming car, he's as far away from you, you're just guessing. You're not even close.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's so dangerous.
I want to go there.
Can't be worse than that. Do you get into fights at all? You've done, right?
Not really. I have in the past, but I think I've grown up a little bit now, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, in the early days, pre-Navy, we used to go and fight the sailors at the pub for a sport. And then I joined the Navy, and I was at Cerberus, that base where I'd grown up. So at the Hastings pub, there'd be one end that was full of sailors and one end of locals, and he who dared went in the middle. And when all that kicked off, I was people I grew up with fighting against people I worked with. I just had to sit in the corner and beat myself up.
It's like a civil war, man.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was fun times.
Yeah.
That everyone knew that if you stay at your end, you're not going to get in trouble. And if you wanted to play, then go and play in the middle.
This guy I know in Brazil, some old fighter, UFC fighter, he's out now.
Yeah,
but he said, like, you would leave clubs and it was just like that part of town versus this part of town. And they'd be like, you're go to fight.
Yeah.
If you had no interest in it, you just wouldn't go down there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I've never seen or experienced anything like that here in Australia, but like where there's definite suburbs, or maybe the Cronulla riots, but that was a different thing.
That's like not planned.
No, that was a...
What were the Cronulla riots?
A couple of years back, there was the western suburbs of Sydney is predominantly Middle Eastern culture, and they were heading to Cronulla, the coast where the beaches were, and the Aussies didn't want the Middle Eastern people coming to the beach, and on Australia Day it all fired up, and the Middle Eastern crew came as a battalion to come and fight, and the Aussies, there was an organised Facebook event that just got out of hand and became the riots, and there was cars trashed in the street and police and ambulance and fires, and lasted about 3 hours.
Well, really?
Yeah, closest thing we've had to a civil war.
Yeah, that's not 3 hours ain't that bad.
No.
Damn,
no.
3 hours is a normal Super Bowl riot for us.
Yeah, I know. But we don't get that excitement that often, so we're still talking about it now 10 years
later. Not even a well-to-do Super Bowl riot. I mean like a middle-of-the-road Super Bowl riot.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even really mention it.
Yeah. Just the end of a Super Bowl, really.
Yeah. It was everyone drunk in the street and just like, if you're the fan of the wrong team, just go for it.
Yeah. See, once again, when the Super Bowl's on, it's about 10 in the morning here, so... We still try and get drunk for it, but we're not in the mood for a riot.
It's harder. It's harder to drink that early. It's like watching World Cup in America, where you're just like, I don't know, it's just too early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get rowdy. Did you, how many kids you got?
I've got 4 children to 3 different women.
Damn, bro.
7 grandchildren.
You ever wear condoms or never?
I did. Or we'd be talking big numbers now.
Really? I was just with 3 different women.
I was married to the mother of my first 2 children.
Okay.
She was my high school sweetheart. We just expected we were meant to be together.
Yeah,
realized we weren't, and then thought having kids might fix everything.
For real?
Yeah.
You did it that way?
Yeah. And we'd separated when she was pregnant with our second child. And a good mate of mine, one of those 3 I was talking about earlier, suggested I needed a night out on the town to get over all of this. It took me out and had a one-night stand that night, and the girl got pregnant.
No, fucking no.
So my wife was giving birth to my son within a week of this. It was like having twins in 2 separate hospitals.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And then a little bit later on, I'd met another partner. We were traveling Australia and had my youngest daughter then.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was intentional or
ish? Yeah. It was planned. Yeah.
Fuck. I can't imagine splitting up with a lady who is having her baby and then just be like, and then dropping one in. It's so nerve wracking. I got a vasectomy. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I fucked too many strange. I'm taking too many chances.
We're working on that. We don't want any now.
Really?
Michelle and I met later in life and she's got 2 adult daughters and I've got 4 kids with 7 grandkids. So, yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get the chop, I think. But just the thought of it scares me. So we haven't.
It was easy, bro.
Yeah.
First of all, liquid Valium.
You reckon you could do it?
I did it.
Not like you could perform the operation?
I'd do it for you. I could try. I don't have expertise. Yeah. Some people told me that they smelled burning.
Oh, right.
My guy put me out enough that I didn't smell anything.
Yeah, fair enough.
That would bother me the most.
I guess what's putting me off is I don't trust my doctor enough.
Yeah. Yeah, they say they make you go back in a couple months later and test it.
Yeah.
To see for sure. Because my friend Steve Ranazizi, he got it, and he was like, doctor's like, there's still a chance you can get your wife pregnant. He goes, dude, if I get my wife pregnant again, I'm going to kill everyone in this office. Like, what am I doing here then?
Yeah, get it done right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't want more kids, huh?
Had I still had the doctor I had when I was living here in Melbourne, I'd be more than happy. I had a gay doctor here. It was hilarious. So I didn't know he was gay. I was over 40, so I had to get the prostate examination.
Yeah.
I went in, I need to see a doctor, I need to get the prostate, and they've sent me in, and the whole clinic had gay doctors, and it was the area I was living in. I'm fine with all of that, so I've gone in, he's done the check or whatever, no flowers, no chocolates, just fingered me, basically. And
it's like, what do you mean, no flowers, no chocolates? No, I get it.
About 6 months later, there was something wrong with me. I've gone back there to, can I see Dr. So-and-so? They said, oh, he doesn't work here anymore. I said, well, I thought I'd finally had a doctor. Where is he? They said, he's quit medicine. He's got the lead in the stage play, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
What?
There's a two-page spread on him in the newspaper and all this.
Your
thing.
Doctor was an actor?
I didn't even get tickets to the show.
Come on, man. I'm not healthy and I can't do anything. I would not want a doctor who was not all in.
Yeah, he was all in until he was all out, I guess. Mm.
He was gay.
Yeah.
Dude, gay people love the theater. I don't know if it's that way here, too, but
I hope it was his wedding ring, I felt.
Yeah, it's like their lifelong dream is to be part of the theater in some way, either set design or actors. Did you get scurvy?
Yes, I did.
What the fuck, bro? How the fuck do you get scurvy? Unless you were a pirate, how the fuck do you get scurvy?
I said I was in the Navy. No. A guy actually just did a piece on me for a documentary they're making about vitamins and what they do for you, and heard I was one who got scurvy. In one of my drunken stupors, I decided that humans should be either carnivorous or herbivorous and not one or the other. All the other animals pick one or the other. And
yeah.
I decided I like meat more than vegetables, and I went about 8 years and started to get a bit crook.
Wait, really?
I was drinking so much at the time. When the doctor said I need vitamin C, all I heard him say was, stop drinking VB and start drinking vodka and orange.
That's how you'll get it. That's how you'll get vitamin C.
It didn't help. Mm.
Wait, and so what happened?
It was quite interesting. I went in, I had these, I'll pull my sleeve up for the listeners.
Yeah.
See all those scars? On, they're all up both arms. They were little scabs and things. All
those dots?
Pigmentation things, yeah. They were up both arms. My gums were bleeding. I thought I'd better get it checked out. And I went into the doctor and
your gums were bleeding?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's Holocaust shit, man. That's hilarious. You're a first world nations person.
The doctor said, looks like you've got scurvy, but you can't. It hasn't been in Australia for 100 years. And, he said, I'll do some tests and I'll come back. I went back a week later to get the results of the test, and his medical diagnosis was, it fucking is. Yeah, so yeah, he said hit the vitamin C, and a good friend of mine who is a model in Sydney, her and her husband were vegetarians, and they dragged me around there a couple of times a week and fed me vegetables to nurse me back to health.
Just did it feel better eating vegetables?
I guess I felt better all up, but it wasn't noticeable.
You didn't notice it?
No. I eat cooked vegetables now. I still can't do anything raw. I still don't do salad or fruit.
Really?
Yeah. No. They made me eat an orange for that documentary and almost threw up on the camera.
How old are you?
This was 6 months ago.
Okay. That's hilarious. You just don't bother with it.
No.
Yeah, Kylie was like, he got scurvy. I'm like, how does he make it scurvy? He's like, you fucking ask him. I have no idea. I have no idea. What does it do? It makes your gums bleed and then...
Yeah, vitamin... you sort of break down, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, you don't mend well and yeah.
It's like diesel putting that in an unleaded car.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where it like goes for a little bit, and then it was like, ah, this ain't right.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, I guess. I just ended up with scabs that wouldn't heal and, you know, bleeding and, yeah.
Damn. Wait, so you just, like, pussing blood all over your arm?
Oh, they'd scab over, but, okay. You know, I'd pick the top off occasionally when no one was around and nothing was on television.
Yeah, I would do that too. I don't know why I'm acting gross. It's just because it's you and not me, but
everyone does it.
Scab, I slowly pull it off.
Everyone does.
Because you get that part that's connected to the skin, that's when you got to stop.
Yeah.
But the part that's just resting on it, you can easily pull up.
Yeah, but then you can't stop and you've got to get that, and that's when it bleeds
then
again.
Then it bleeds again, gets bigger.
Yep.
Yeah.
The things we'll talk about on a podcast.
But never in front of like someone you trust or like. What are the Bogan like foods then?
Oh, the song Bloke says I live on beer and pies, but I go further than that. I'd like steaks, lamb chops, yeah. Sausages.
Is there a difference between upscale Bogan and lower level
Bogan? We have a term here in Australia now called Cubs, which is cashed up Bogans. Because a lot of the Bogans, the working class, went to Western Australia and worked in the mines.
And then suddenly got
all of a sudden, yeah. Every second house in Western Australia had a purple utility and a jet ski.
Yeah. Dude, I love new money.
Yeah.
Trash money is the best.
Oh,
and they're just looking to have fun.
We've got money in the bank. Let's buy a third jet ski.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, we only have two people. I'm like, who knows?
We'll tow one.
Have you been different with money versus without money?
I'm always the same. If I have money, I spend it till I don't have any. Ironically, I keep mentioning Michelle here, but she was, I guess, pretty much the same, living from hand to mouth. But in the 3 years we've been together, without even it being intentional, we've managed to save some money. But I might be growing up.
Maybe you're
53.
Growing up. Yeah, maybe you're growing up.
I had the single that went quite well. I got a check for $130,000 and that's gone now.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know Joey Diaz? You ever heard of Joey Diaz?
I know the name. Yeah.
Okay. He's a comic in LA. He reminds me of you, but he was like a criminal for a long time. Just a straight like thief and drug dealer and whatever.
Yeah.
But
right.
Like he would always be like, when he had money, he was like, party's here.
Yeah.
And it was never like, let's save this to make it last.
People have told me that. I think it's in the addictive nature. If you've got something, you share it with everyone and say, you know, if I'm cashed up at a gig or whatever, all the comedians, have a drink. Yeah, let's get this.
Really?
Let's get that. Yeah.
Yeah, keep the party going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the nicer way to be.
Yeah, I think so.
To a degree, I mean, there's got to be some sort of like coming together of responsibility and let's all have fun.
I think also if you've got goals, say you're saving for a house or whatever, then that's not the way to be. But if you haven't got goals and you're just cruising through life, then... Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I could be dead tomorrow. It's not going to be any good in the bank then, is it?
Yeah. No, exactly. That's my biggest desire is to die with like under 10 bucks left.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure. What's that saying? You're meant to go sliding sideways, completely wrecked into your grave, not looking
from tumbling and dropping right in. This grave's already dug. Like, cool. No, not a burden on anybody. I know then.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. How was that when you had that song out? Was it different?
It was very surreal. Artie, my manager, said...
he was your manager back then?
Artie Artie. I've had Artie right from day one, 20 years. Cool. He's been my manager.
I like that guy.
When I first went to A-List, he had one other person. I was the second person on his books. And I've been there, right from the start. He said someone from EMI has approached us. They want to release the song. I'd been just doing it as a small piece in my stand-up. And I'd laughed because I can't sing or play a note. But I went, all right, if they want it, I had to write the full song. We released it, and it debuted in the top 10 or just out of the top 10. A week later, it was number 2, and the third week, it was number 1.
In Australia?
Yeah. It stayed at number 1 for 3 weeks and stayed in the top 40 for 4.5 months.
When was this? What year was this?
March of 2000 was when it... late February was when it first charted.
Damn.
Yeah.
And then people were recognizing you?
No. Because the song was called Bloke. If they sort of worked it out, they didn't know my name. They just said, oh, you're that bloke. There was one time when it was on the charts, or still at number 1, there was some builders doing a second story to a house behind where I was staying. They had the radio going, morning radio, and they've played the Bloke song on the radio. And I thought, this will be funny. I'll go over and go, hey, can you guys turn that down? I'm trying to sleep. And they'll go, oh, it's him. Look, it's him. Yeah. They didn't have a clue. When I turned that down, they started shooting the nail guns at me. Piss off out of here. Fuck, that didn't go how I thought it was going to. Yeah, so no one really put two and two together. Even today, like I do the stand-up, I sing the song about halfway through an hour set. And they enjoy the comedy, I hope, for the first bit. But you see the look of recognition once I've sung that song half. They go, oh, fuck, it's that
guy.
Oh,
that's him. Right, yeah. Right. Oh, they're not here for it at all.
No, I don't think so.
That's cool. It's almost a better way to be.
Yeah, I guess. It was quite funny. Just a couple of years prior to Bloke, I was lucky enough to win the 98 Raw Final, which is a national competition.
For stand-up?
Yeah, it's during the comedy festival. Best newcomer in Australia, basically. They have all the state finalists in a national final in the Melbourne Town Hall the last Sunday before the festival ends for a national final. I won that in 98. I did Bloke then, so 2 years before it was released. And that's televised on the ABC. So a week later, it's televised. I'm walking home from my day job. I'm still an open mic comic. And there's people in the street going, I saw you on television last night. I just shit myself. I didn't know how to deal with it. In the end, I'm running down Ackland Street in St Kilda trying to get to where I'm staying. So,
try to not be recognized.
Yeah. People recognize me everywhere from that. But you have a number one hit and they hear it on the radio. They don't know what the fuck you look like.
Yeah, it's just audio.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Like this.
Right, exactly. That is the last level of anonymity. That's the best part of this. Where it's like if you listen to somebody, they just like won't bother you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you are, but I just like observing people. I don't want to be like part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Walking on the street just looking at people.
I do that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
I like to get an elevated space, like a car park level over a busy area and just look down and just watch, stand there in the corner and just watch people walking past for ages.
For sure. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, why not? And you can listen to them too. I like every once in a while where I'm in a office building for whatever reason. If I have to go to a lawyer or something, or if I have to, you know, just a regular, and then just listening to their conversations in the elevator.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck is your life?
What was that one the other? We were in a motel and got into the elevator, and a lady got in at the same time, just said, oh, hi, how are you going? Like she knew us, and got out of the elevator and said, see you later. She's never going to fucking see us later. Do you think we swap numbers in there or something? Catch up for a drink. I've known you for 10 seconds and three floors.
Yeah. Yeah, people are weird. Do you travel a lot?
I do. I've been home. Where are we now? We're early in May? No, April.
April, end of April, yeah.
Yeah. So the end of April. I've been home 6 days this year to where we live. Yeah. I go home on... It's Tuesday today. I go home on Thursday for 10 days and then I'm off to Brisbane for 10 days again. So
wait, what do? I did a tour?
A week at the Perth Fringe World Festival. I did a little bit at the Adelaide Fringe, which happens just after that. Yeah. From there, I did a 2.5 week tour of regional Queensland just to prepare me for heading to the Middle East, where I did 11 days over there. And I went from there straight to here in Melbourne, which runs for a month.
Fuck.
Melbourne's close to Tasmania.
But you live here, right?
Yeah, I live in Tasmania.
You do?
Yeah.
On the island?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's that like? You live there
too? Sensational. Michelle's lived there all her life. I met her touring there 3 years ago.
My buddy, that's why I couldn't hang out the other night, because my buddy that I'm in Myanmar is here.
Yeah.
So we went out, you know, for a drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a year, I guess. But he just went to Tasmania and he was like, fucking gorgeous.
Sensational. I'll need to talk to you. I don't know if this is too boring for your podcast, but myself and some business people down there are starting the first annual Launceston Comedy Festival called LOL, Laughs Over Launceston.
Oh, that's cool.
Next year, it's going to run in the 10-day gap between when Adelaide finishes and Melbourne starts.
Oh, maybe.
Curated, so it's invitation only. I think I can sneak you in.
In between when and when?
In between when Adelaide Fringe finishes, which is they finish on the 16th of March, I think.
Yeah.
We're starting on the 18th of March and running for a week, and then Melbourne starts 3 days after that.
Ooh. Maybe I'll come do New Zealand and then that.
If you've got yourself in Australia, we'll fly you from anywhere in the mainland Australia down to the island. We'll put you up for the week and we'll pay you a wage or work out a door deal with you.
All right, let's figure it out.
Yeah, cool.
That'll be fun. I was going to go to New Zealand after this, but it's getting too cold and I realized I should have done it before this.
Yeah, I've done the Auckland Comedy Festival a few times. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Melbourne, it can be freezing or it can be sunny this time of year.
Right. Mm. I should go in like February or March.
Yeah, that's a better time to go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to do like a gig or two and then just try to fuck around and fucking see that place.
Yeah. South Island's great, but you really need to go in a summer month for that because it gets quite cold in the winter.
Tasmania too, right?
Yeah. 3 winters ago, the state was covered, every inch of it, by snow.
Well, that's cool.
It was snowing at sea level at Hobart. Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen beach snow.
Yeah.
I've always wondered if it even happens.
Yeah.
Does it accumulate on the sand?
Yeah. Yeah. It melts fairly quickly, but
That'd be cool to see.
It never gets cold enough in Tasmania for lakes to freeze over or whatever, but it's 5-6 degrees, but the snow can still accumulate.
Yeah. Yeah. We had our last big one in New York in it's already in springtime actually.
Yeah. Right.
It was forever the winter this year, but then people are like, it's not going to accumulate because it's like 5 or 6 degrees and it's like, yeah, well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If it keeps going long enough, it'll stay.
There's two large mountains on Tassie, one near Hobart and Cradle Mountain up the north end. And it snows on them all through the winter, every winter. Cradle Mountain, for the last 3 years, it snowed there on Christmas Day, the middle of our summer.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, because it's so high up.
I don't think it's that high up. It's nothing like any European mountains.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that'd be cool, though.
I think it's just Tassie's cold weather. We're pretty close to the Antarctic, though.
Dude, there's so many Australians who come ski during your summer in like all over America and Canada.
Right. I'm heading to Canada in September for a week of shows around Edmonton. And one of the gigs organized is in the Canadian ski fields where they're hoping a lot of Australian expats who are skiing or instructing will come to the show.
So many. And you comment on it like, fuck yeah. And those aren't like... Those Australians aren't really bogans. That's a different breed.
No, bogans don't go skiing. We can't afford it in
this
country.
Good point. Yeah, what is it?
That's a financial thing.
But they're all cokeheads, like hard. Yeah, they party hard.
Yeah, see, they're the rich set. The coke's so rich here, so expensive here, apparently.
Dude, that's the best is when I go to Edinburgh and to see all the Australians. I'm like, let's do them coke. It's like they're giving it away. I'm like, what do you guys got? Like, this is amazing. All the Scottish people are like, nah, it's so-so. And all the Australians are like, it's the best I've ever had. They cut it here like 20 times over. They charge you up the ass.
Yeah,
people still manage.
I think the coke is just speed cut with ecstasy. I don't
know. it's just like the orange juice out of the gun on the bars where it's not really orange juice.
Within the first year of Michelle and I meeting, we were all over here. Her whole family was over from Tasmania watching the stage production of The Lion King. So we stayed together and they stayed at a motel. We've gone out to a club I know in Melbourne where has a secret room and you have a swipe card to get in there and you can maybe purchase things over the bar. But we've staggered out of there at about 11 o'clock in the morning the next day. And her mother, who was over, was doing her power walk in the morning, happened to walk straight past us. We've come flopping out of this club.
All cooked up.
The second time I've met her mother-in-law, Luella. Her name's Luella. I call her Cruella. But I was that off my head and that drunk just to show – I grabbed her by the arm and took her into the club at 11 o'clock in the morning just to show her we weren't the last ones to leave.
I love that people go like overboard to show that they're not doing something where be quiet and let her pass.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't know any better. You could have left at 10 p.m. the night before. You're like, it's fine. I'm fine. Look.
I'm saying to Michelle, don't look now, but your mother's behind you. And Cruella's going, I can hear you, Chris.
That must be...
I think she spotted us.
Chris, I can still hear you. I can't imagine what I would want to see less when I'm all coked up is than my mom.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I would much rather see Michelle's mom than my mom.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, for sure. My mother-in-law would be way better than my mother. Ugh. Oh, I can't imagine that. Did you ever go to like the Bali and shit like that?
I've
because that's like a bogan's.
It is.
Dream.
But it's not my scene. I've never had a desire to go over there. There's enough bogan places to drink here in Australia. You know, I've stopped at Denpasar Airport in a stopover on the way through, but never left the passenger transit terminal type thing. Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's weird how Cody was explaining to me where it's like. It's close enough, and then the beer is super cheap. And I'm like, but cheaper than here and not a flight? Wouldn't it just be cheaper just to drink here? He goes, yeah, it's all they do is do the same shit they do here, but just over there.
If you're flying out of Perth, you can get a Jetstar flight to Bali for about $40, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Perth is where all the cashed-up bogans from the mines are. So
they could probably do it in, like, long weekends there.
I think it's Shark Barrett does the routine about... the bogans heading over to, we're worried about terrorists coming over here. They should be more worried about our tourists going over there. So some people get worried about international planes not landing. I think it's more terrifying for people if a Jetstar plane does land safely.
Full of bogans?
Yeah.
Full of cashed up ones? Dude, I remember coming off one of those like full moon parties or something like that. And there was this kid in one of those, you know, those round like stroller where they can walk sort of, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, 7 a.m. or something like that. And this kid's in the street on one of those things. And this bogan's like, oi, what's up with this kid? Where should you be? You should be somewhere now. I'm sorry, I had a terrible accent, but like, you should be somewhere. And I want to be like, hey, dude, come on. We're not going to fix third world right now. This is someone's child. You're not the one in charge. You're on speed and fucking, you've done 17 whippets.
Bogan parenting.
Yeah.
It's the same people that leave their kids in the car in the car park at the casino while they're up there for 20 hours.
Here's some nuts. Yeah. Fucking, don't unlock the door. How are bogans as parents?
Oh, terrible.
Really?
Terrible. I'm a shit grandfather, but to be fair, I was a shit father as well.
That is fair.
Yeah. I'm a bogan. We're very fertile. We're just not very good at the raising them bit.
Yeah.
I raised all mine interstate. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine raising any. I don't know how both you guys did it, but like
I didn't.
You really?
Just, I was out of just there when they were 3 months old. Yeah.
Do they get along with you now?
Yeah, great, great. Three of the four, anyway. The fourth, the one night stand. His mother met and married someone else, and they had two daughters. And although he's aware of who I am and the family we have here, he's grown up thinking that's his family. That's all he wants is his family. He's made no attempt to get hold of us. His mother. Cool. I'm still in contact with his mother, and she'll send me updated pictures of him and things like that. So. My other kids want to know him.
They do?
But I've sort of said to them, it's up to him. We can't make him be part of the family, you know. One day he might be ready or he might not. So
I don't know what you would, like how you would meet. Some comic I know just met his like long lost brother.
I heard a story about that. Someone here in Melbourne, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
There was an English comedian here in Melbourne talking about something that had just happened there like that. Yeah.
Whoa. I forget who it was. I feel like it was an American, but then maybe it was Roy Wood Jr. But then it suddenly it's like, yeah, I've got this. Oh, sister. And I'm like, do you even connect though? It's not like you don't have any shared experience except genetics.
My youngest son from my first marriage and my youngest daughter live on opposite sides of the country. They first met in their 20s when they both had children, and they're in constant contact now on Facebook. You know, social media, you can stay in contact all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's three of the four. Two of them have the same parents, and one of them has the same father as the other two.
And they know each other?
Yeah, they all know each other. They're all in contact. They help each other out. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
their kids have never
met.
They're all cousins, their kids, but they've never met because they're in Queensland and Western Australia. So one day.
Yeah. I would be a father that you are. Honestly, that's the best of both worlds. You let somebody else raise them, and then you're like, we cool. I'm 18. Yeah. Let's have this fucking relationship. Now there's no responsibility.
There's laws in Australia where if you're the father, you pay child support.
Same cash.
All the way through. It's a percentage of your wage all the way through your life. And I've done that for the kids. So
what percentage?
17% for one child.
17?
Then it goes to 22% for two children.
22% total?
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't just keep adding on. Otherwise, you'd be over 100% at some point.
Mm. It's 22% for the ex-wife with two kids and 17% for the one over there. So, 39.
What if you have like six kids with six different women?
You're going to have to get two jobs.
Oh, my God. An off-the-books job and an on-the-books job.
Yeah. I paid the kids way all through their lives. So, you know.
Really?
I was entitled to see them when I could. And ironically, they stayed. We were not in contact. I didn't know where they were in the country until the bloke song came out. And then their mum happened to say, hey, here we are. 17%
well.
Of this.
Oh, man. Yeah, of that.
Yeah. Mm. You can see the kids and sent them around when they were very young, 4 and 5 or whatever, with no shoes on. So I've got to buy them shoes to send them home with or spend them in the day. You know, so bogan mums are just as bad as bogan dads.
What are they like?
Oh, yeah. Hey, gone. Smoking mouth, Bundaberg rum in the other hand. And
Bundaberg makes a rum? I didn't even know that. I just thought it was ginger ale and that's
it. Oh, they're famous for their rum.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Prince Charles just went to the Bundaberg Rum Distillery.
To get loaded?
I guess so.
He just gets to go in, right? If you're a prince, you just got to take whatever you want.
He enjoys a drink. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He went to school in Victoria, though, so.
Did he really?
Yeah, he went to Geelong Grammar.
Yeah, what are the women like? What are bogan women like? I don't feel like I've seen any of them.
How do you pay a bogan woman a compliment? Nice tooth.
It's like that?
Yeah.
Damn.
They have tattoos that say mum and mum spelt wrong.
M-O-M-M. Yeah, do they fight just as much and drink just as much?
They carry on. I've never seen, occasionally you see them scrap, but they just talk through their nose and drink and smoke and yeah.
It seems like when bogan type people of whatever country fight, it doesn't carry on afterwards. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like, hey, we fought, we're done.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, no big deal.
Yeah, or even straight after, okay, let's have a beer.
Really?
Yeah.
So it is.
I've seen that. Punch on and then, oh, I love you. Come on, let's go and have a drink.
Yeah, when like mid to upscale white people in America fight, like they won't even be in the room with that guy for the next 2 years.
Yeah. You
gotta like work it out.
No, we're fine.
Because you fight all the time. So it's like, it wasn't that big a deal.
Bit of sport.
Yeah.
Thanks for filling in my Saturday night. What do you want to do today?
Is there a lot of cheating in the bogan community?
I'm not. There's a lot of single mums and separated relationships, but I'm not sure it's through cheating. It's just through mismatched DNA, I think.
Lack of commitment in general.
Yeah, yeah. So they always separate and then realize they've got kids and have to stay in contact with each other for all of them. I'm sure there's cheating, but it'd be no more so than a businessman playing up with his secretary or whatever, you know?
Okay.
I guess we get less opportunities to cheat because she's got her friends and I've got mine and they all know each other and they, yeah.
You'd have to like really...
Very small circle and you know, even if your mate split up with someone, you don't do that to your mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't, but I see it so much.
Yeah, having
comedians
said that...
Comedians too.
It happened in the AFL community a few years back.
Really?
Captain of my club, North Melbourne, Wayne Carey, had an affair with his vice captain's partner and it almost ruined the club.
The whole team.
He got kicked out of the state. He had to go and play in Adelaide.
That's what happened to the Indiana Pacers.
Mm.
Somebody fucked, I think, the coach's wife or like someone else. But it's almost like, I mean, what the guy's wife, yeah, that's an awful thing to do too. I mean, cheat, but not with somebody in their life. But then from the guy's point of view, it's like, have you not gotten laid before?
Yeah,
you're going to throw everything away for this?
He was an idol, hitting women away with a stick. He had a wife of his own who was beautiful. Even his wife's father, his father-in-law said, you don't do that to your teammate, you go to a brothel.
Wow.
Yeah, so I used to do a joke. I say I'm here in Adelaide doing shows. I thought the only way you got sent to Adelaide was if you fucked your teammate's wife.
They all get it.
Yeah.
How do I look? I'm dressed for the Richmond game. I know their colors are black.
No, Richmond are black and yellow.
I don't have any yellow.
They're playing Melbourne, which are red and blue. So you're far removed from that. Yeah.
Okay.
If you find a scarf, a Richmond scarf, they'll sell them down there.
A yellow one?
It'd be black and yellow. Or okay. You can buy one
so
predominantly.
Can, like, drape over me?
Yeah, I'll just wear it as the scarf, like most people do.
Okay. Yeah, I figure. I don't know.
The white makes you look more a Collingwood supporter, which is
fuck. Maybe I'll turn this inside out. Then.
And they've got the biggest following, Collingwood, but they're the most hated club as well. If you don't barrack for Collingwood, you hate them. Whereas a lot of other clubs, if you don't barrack for them, you don't mind them.
You don't give a shit one way or the other.
Everyone hates Collingwood. And their supporters are, you know...
Why, do they do well a lot?
Their supporters are bogan. You're talking about bogans. Collingwood supporters are...
Collingwood, like right here, Collingwood?
Yeah, yeah. I tell you. There's a Collingwood supporter whose teeth... She had a red one, a green one, a brown one. If she had a white one, she'd have a snooker set, you know.
Team colours and a teeth.
Collingwood fella missing every second tooth, looked like his tongue was in jail.
You're fine, Boris. That's great.
Michelle told me, she went to the doctor. She said her vagina was singing Good Old Collingwood Forever, their club song, for every morning when she woke up for a week. And she went to the doctor and he looked at it. He said, oh, that's nothing to worry about. A lot of cunts sing that.
Yeah, there's some teams that everybody fucking hates.
Yeah, yeah, that's Collingwood.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. I just found out the rules. They explained it to me as I was watching. I was like, okay. I thought it was really like close to like CFL, which is like similar to American football. But
nothing like it.
Nothing
like it. It's been called cross-country basketball.
Well, I like that.
Imagine basketball on a really big outdoor pitch where you're allowed to kick the basketball. That's pretty much, yeah.
If you kick it and somebody tips it and it still goes in, but it skims their hand,
it's 1 point instead of six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got to be clean off the foot through the main goals to be a goal, which is 6 points. If you've seen the goals at the end, we have a second set on the outside in case you go slightly wide. If it goes through there, that's called a behind, which is 1 point.
And it's got can it bounce in or just on the fly?
It can bounce off the foot as long as it's not touched by anyone in any way before it goes over.
Yeah, and that's still okay?
Yeah, as long as it goes through the middle section. The outer sections...
But there's no crossbar like in the NFL. No. It's just like straight up and down.
Yeah, anywhere in that area.
Okay.
Hmm. Yep. What else do you need to know?
I'm pretty excited about it. No, I think that's it.
Is this your first game?
Uh-huh.
You should have come on Sunday. We went to the Hawthorn-North Melbourne game.
Really?
My club. Yeah, very exciting. Big fights in the middle of the game and... Someone got knocked out and had to get plastic surgery on their face today. And
I was going to go, but then I had to do that little Dum Dums Club podcast.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
I was thinking that. Kylie was like, did somebody get knocked out?
Yeah, yeah. Sean Higgins, great player for us. He got.
Oh, we saw that. That's what we were watching as they were explaining the rules.
Yeah, right.
He fucking laid out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was trying to make the tackle too.
He had the ball. The guy just came in and what we call a shirt front, hip and shoulder right into the chest area. But he hit him so hard that Sean's head flung forward and hit the back of his head. And he just knocked himself out on the other guy's head.
I saw it on the way down. He was on his side.
And tore half his lip off. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah. He's had plastic surgery today. And his wife gave birth to their daughter that day. He left the hospital to go and play football, and then he was back in the right hospital back. Behind.
He's like, actually, keep him around to floor three instead of floor four. I need to be near my wife. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, he made an excuse so he can go back and see his kid.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, no, it was a pretty rough game. But no, you'll enjoy tonight. It should be a fairly one-sided affair. Richmond won the premiership last year, and they're going okay this year. Melbourne have been a bit up and down this year, so...
These aren't the playoffs, are they?
No, we're just early in the season. We're only in round five.
What does that mean, round? So what do they have?
Each week, a team plays a team, like all 18 teams play each other.
Yeah.
And then that's round one. Round two, they'll all play different teams. Round three, and we go up to 22 rounds. So 22 weeks of football, then the finals start. So it's September is when...
Then it's your record, your total record.
Yeah. Or... The top eight out of 18 teams get to go into the playoffs. We have... I guess elimination finals where two teams are knocked out in the first week, then preliminary finals, semi-finals, and then the grand final, which is the Super Bowl.
Kind of like most sports. One game for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, one only. Yeah. Unless it's a draw, they come back the week later.
What?
If the game is drawn, scores are level at the end of the game.
They restart the whole thing.
They come back a week later.
No overtime. That's the craziest rule you guys have. Yeah. Just finish it right now.
In the... lead-up finals, the preliminary and elimination, if there's a draw, they have overtime because they can't afford to set the whole thing back away.
Oh, man. It's so much more violent than the NFL or even than rugby.
No padding.
No padding.
Yeah.
All they have is like some tape guard on your shoulders.
Oh, they don't all have that. The guys with tape on their shoulders is because they've had a previous shoulder injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just to hold it together?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's brutal, bro. Do you play that at all?
I played it from under nines right through to senior football.
Oh, damn.
Not at the elite level, but at country level. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. God. I mean, it's a great place, too.
Look up AFL football on YouTube, folks. Yeah.
Just look up the fights or punch-ons, they're called. I didn't realize what that term was.
Greatest hits is a good one to look up, yeah.
They lay people out.
Yeah. In the 70s, you were allowed to punch people as well. It was
full punch.
Yeah. There was a fella playing for Richmond called Mel Brown.
Yeah.
Three Collingwood players, Carlton players are running at him one at a time, and he's just throwing left, then right, then left, and all three of them just drop like 10 pins, like in front of him, unconscious, and he's still standing there waiting for the next one to come running at him. There'll be footage of that somewhere.
Damn, what's his name?
Mel Brown.
Mel Brown, I'm going to look that up.
M-A-L Brown.
Damn.
It's black and white footage, but it's great footage. There's one where Phil Carman headbutted an umpire, one of the referees on the field. Yeah,
you get banned for that
For a season.
That's got to be a line with the refs where it's like, we don't sign up for any of this. Yeah.
Mad Dog Robbie Muir for St Kilda went off at someone, hit a few players on the field. The umpire sent him off. He almost hit the umpire, but then refrained. And as the trainer was dragging him off the ground, someone yelled at him from the fence, and he jumped the fence and hit one of the supporters as well and then went off. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, there's some good footage like that.
That's got to be the sport of the bogan.
Yeah, for sure.
AFL.
Mm-hmm. Australian rules football. AFL is the league that's played at. The game's actually called football. Australian rules football, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, someone was saying that there was like, they keep calling it AFL, but it's not. That's just the league.
Yeah.
Mm. It should be AR.
The AFL was originally the VFL, the Victorian Football League. That's why so many of the clubs in the AFL are just suburban Melbourne teams. Because there was 12 suburban Melbourne teams, and then they decided to expand nationally, and they created teams in the other states. They weren't teams that were already there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
This is huge.
There's probably 11 teams from Melbourne now.
That's crazy.
The Sydney Swans used to be South Melbourne.
And they moved to Sydney?
Yeah, they moved to Sydney, yeah. Fitzroy, where we are right now, is the Brisbane Lions now.
Have you seen this neighborhood change like completely?
I being a boy from Frankston, which is Bogan Central, I never spent a lot of time north of the city, which Fitzroy is. It's always been a bit too artistic and a bit too trendy.
Oh, it was always?
70s, it was a little bit gangsterish, but it always had that element of that bohemian sort of feel about it. So, yeah, I never ventured up here that much. They're all a bit too strange for me.
The Bogan is not really a city animal, is it?
No, not really. Suburban, and not all suburbs. Frankston was known for its bogans. In Sydney, before the term bogan became national, we all had our own terms. In Sydney, they were called Westies because they lived to the west of the city in the suburbs out there.
Oh.
But now those suburbs have all been taken over by the Middle Eastern community. So Yeah, the Bogan's a little bit homeless up there. I think Canberra, no, Brisbane, they were called Booners, not Bogans.
Booners.
I don't know where that came from, but that's what they were called.
We have a neighbor, like shitty neighborhoods called the Boonies. We just that like way out in the middle of nowhere where you expect to see a three tooth.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Canberra, I think they were called locals. No.
I've never been there, but that's what I've heard.
In Auckland, in New Zealand, they were called Westies as well because they were west of the city of Auckland. Yeah. There was a great New Zealand comic who's passed away now. Oh, fuck, I've forgotten his name now that I've brought him up, but he was known as the King of the Westies over there, and I was the King of the Bogans over here, and we often did shows together when we were in the same city and had a lot of fun. Ewan Gilmore.
Ewan Gilmore.
Yeah, yeah.
Does your audience mostly look like you?
Yeah, strangely enough, there's a lot of Bogans in the audience, but it's a funny thing where I guess the Bogan is recognised as we don't have a national dress in Australia or you know, to wear at those sort of functions where all countries dress up and represent themselves. So every class in Australia considers themselves a Bogan or knows a Bogan. Like I'll have people there who are doctors and lawyers but still think they're Bogan blokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of Bogan compared to the other people in their lives?
Yeah, I guess. Or, you know, they'll enjoy a beer and enjoy pub rock music and V8 supercars. So,
but that in not you can't be doing that once a month and consider yourself
No, that's right. That's right. People come in and say, I wanted to see your show because you remind me so much of my brother or my father or my uncle. Or, you know, so as everyone in Australia knows a Bogan they can relate to.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we have this all these comedians in America that call themselves nerds.
Right.
But then, like, you see him, like, Chris Hardwick is one big one. But it's like, dude, you're fucking rich and you have sex with models. Like, you're not a nerd.
Yeah, that's not a nerd.
Nerds, they spend their times alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you have the TV show Beauty and the Geek?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's where models and actual nerds were teamed up. They're nerds. You've got to have glasses.
Should get picked on.
Apollo neck skivvy and yeah. Work on computers.
Yeah. Have no social life. Dude, by the way, LA is just a version of Beauty and the Geek because there's so many hot, beautiful women that they're just like, meh. So all these fucking nerds who have money,
yeah.
And we're like, well,
yeah.
I'll go for that. Not all of them, but enough where you see that matchup.
Yeah.
A 9 with a 3. And you're like, what the fuck? You almost like want to cheer. Like, you get him, guy. Overcome your potential.
I had 2 weeks in LA, and I didn't get a chance to have a look around that much. We were mainly in around the Hollywood area. But, I never noticed that many different people around me. They were different, but they were the ones I was noticing, the guys with a mohawk and a snake in his pocket or something like that. You know, trying to be noticed by a TV producer or something.
They still think that's the way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I like the way you look. Let's put you in a movie. It's like, dude, that's not the fucking 40s. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you got that thing. It's like, it doesn't work that way anymore. They're still there with their fucking... The best is when they're wearing like all leather top, leather bottom, like dudes, and it's 95 degrees, it's like 34 degrees out, and they're there... And it's like, dude, it ain't even nighttime right now. Fucking put on jeans and a t-shirt, dude. You're not living the life.
You're standing on Venice Beach, man. Take those leather pants off.
Yeah. You can't be this committed to the fucking lifestyle. What happens when you go among normal people? Like when you had jobs?
I was lucky. Leaving the Navy, I was a qualified chef. So I got jobs in restaurants as the head chef. And so didn't matter how I was because people had to listen to me.
Oh, right. Yeah. As boss.
Yeah, and most chefs in general in Australia are Bogan-esque, I suppose. They have a drinking problem, they party too hard, and they have a short temper and yell and scream during the service period. So it's all the quality traits of a Bogan.
Are you going to get your car back, your license back when you can?
I think I will, yeah. I had a period on Magnetic Island in the middle of that. I was up there for 8 years. Bought a house up there with the money that the bloke single gave me, and the ex-wife still living in that fucking house. But anyway,
damn it, she's living in the house that bloke built.
Yeah,
fuck, that's unfair.
When we went to the island, we bought.
She didn't write a fucking note. She didn't help with one lyric.
Losing the house is a lot better than keeping her.
yeah.
We bought a new car with the house we had with the money we had there, and when we got to the island, it was delivered, and I started driving it. It's such a small community, only 1,000 people on the island, and 2 policemen. And the first night we were there, there was a trivia night where the four communities battled each other, where the teams of, you know, 250 people from the four communities answering trivia questions. And the two local cops were there when I was driving the car, arrived there, and everyone's excited. Chris Franklin's on the island, whatever. And the two cops come up, "Mr. Franklin, how are you going?" And I've got out of the driver's seat, haven't questioned anything. So the first day I'm there, they've seen me drive and just assumed I've had a driver's license. For 8 years, I drove around on the island there. It's only 10 kilometres of road.
And nobody would bother checking
when, whenever we'd pass opposite ways, we'd wave to each other.
And you're just sweating.
"G'day, Chris, how you going?" This isn't going out anywhere. They can't get me now. I'm not behind the wheel. Fuck it.
Way too late.
Yeah.
We had that in college and university. We can't drink till we're 21. So everybody gets fake IDs. And then when my friend turned 21 and he uses real license for the first time, to the bar he always goes to, and they're like, "He's like, here." It's like, "Your name's not Ben. Your name's Tony." He goes, "No, it's Ben." It's like, "What? Oh, this whole time? For 3 years?" The guy was so mad, but he was like, "Fuck it, it's too late now. Go ahead in. You're legal now."
Michelle's told me stories of drinking in bars when she was growing up at 14 or 15, and if the police were coming in to check, the publican would hide her in the back area, and they'd bring her back out
to vanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you fuck? Story to hear about you fucking fighting a cop car.
Oh, no. I know where you've heard this story. Kylie was there.
Sure. Yeah. She was there?
Yeah. We were traveling from the high, during the festival time here in Melbourne, late at night, traveling from the Hi-Fi Bar, where the Max Watts, where the festival club is, up to the Exford, where I normally drink. It takes you along a very thin road called Little Bourke Street. Chinatown is where it is. Around the bloke time, I was leading a pack of about 12, like Jesus with his disciples, staggering up the road.
With the hair for it, too.
Someone's trod on the back of one of my thongs, or flip-flops for your listeners, because that would be weird if they stepped on my thong in America.
In a real thong.
It's come off. And one of the other crew, I haven't noticed it, have tried to put it back on my foot
while I'm walking.
Mm-hmm. I've just gone over the top of them. That drunk, I've face-planted in Little Bourke Street. That drunk that I didn't even put my hands down to protect me. Face first, I've grated the top of my nose off and half my chin. And just as it's happened, there was a police car coming down Little Bourke Street. I'm in front of it. It screeched so that it didn't run over my head. And I've got up just as they're getting out, thinking they've run over, and they've opened the door just as I'm trying to get to my feet and bashed me in the face with the car door by accident. Left a big red blotch of blood on the car door. And I've gone down again and finally got up. One of the other comedians that was there, Bev Killick, is trying to fix things.
Bev.
She's as drunk as me. She said, "It's all right, officers, we're comedians." I've said it's fucking obvious we're not street performers, Bev. She's laughed and pissed herself, physically pissed herself, because she's that drunk. And then she's apologising to the police for having asparagus sandwiches earlier in the day with the smell of her piss. And I've said, Bev, I've got half my face on Little Bourke Street and you're apologising for what you've had for lunch. And then I turn to the cops and says, "Who the fuck has asparagus sandwiches anyway?" And these two cops, who were probably half the age of Bev and I, just went, "We don't want to fucking know about this." And they got in the car and just fuck off. I turned up at the Exford with blood all over my shirt from my face and it's still dripping with blood, and the security on the door just said, "Not tonight, Chris. You can't come in here tonight."
Really?
Yeah.
They were just like, "Uh-uh, we ain't doing this."
Yeah, they did it politely, but it's just, "We really can't let you get away with this one."
Like, not while you're actively bleeding.
Yeah. The whole face was just torn apart and blood everywhere, and the blood was all over my shirt as well. So it looked like I'd murdered a family. And I was just going into the pub for a drink afterwards.
That's like Boston. Everyone bloody dripping and then just like, "Hey, we're going to get pizza."
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a cop here. There was this white dude yelling at an Aboriginal woman. They were screaming at each other back and forth.
Yeah.
But just drunk idiots. And these cops are right there. Two of them are just watching them. She's like, "Guys, quiet." They just kept yelling. And then eventually they started getting like real racist with each other.
Right.
And then they got out like, "Hey, come on, get the fuck out. You go that way." And then they did. And they're like, "Ugh." And then back in their car. But it seems like they don't even want to bother if they don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not too bad here. They get a bit of a bad rap. There was a period there 20 years ago where Victorian police had a reputation of shooting and asking questions later. So yeah, that was here's my impersonation of a Victorian cop. Freeze.
That's like an American cop.
Yeah. But they've worked really hard to fix that. So, yeah.
Do they have guns still?
Yeah.
They do.
Guns, but they now have tasers as well. They didn't have the options of tasers earlier.
You know, Norway, I think it's Norway, maybe somewhere else. Yeah, I think it's Norway. Well, you have a gun, but it's locked in your trunk of your car, and you got to get a judge's permission to get in and open it. So there's never like a first thought
yeah,
of like,
yeah, you wait there. I've got to go and ring someone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got the keys to the trunk.
So it's, you use your baton or your taser.
Yeah.
You know, there's no mix-ups. Convenient mix-ups. Have you ever been tased?
No.
Good for you, man.
No, not even in
Way
fun.
Way to exceed your potential.
not even in fun. Yeah. Once the police are involved in anything, I concede defeat, basically. I go, that's it. You win. I'm not going to fight with the police. So. Yeah.
Yeah. How many times have you been arrested?
Couple. Yeah. Just lock up things. Like drink driving or the end of the relationship on Magnetic Island was 17 jailable offences, but I never went to jail for that.
What are you, beating and like fucking stealing?
Yeah, breaking and entering into my own house because I'd moved out by then.
Oh, yeah.
Willful damage because I broke in at 4 a.m. To catch them with a video camera to go, this will get my house back.
To catch her cheating?
Yeah. So I'm zoomed in on her in the bed at 4 a.m. Look at my beautiful wife lying there, so sweet and innocent. Doesn't she look lovely? And I've panned back and gone, oh, she's not alone. And it's not fucking me. And he's woken up and obviously not a morning person. He was a bit cranky and we had a bit of a blue where he fell over the balcony into the garden. And so I'd recently renovated the bathroom and all that was going through my mind was he's not using my fucking shower. So I went in and unrenovated the bathroom. then I went downstairs and got one of his beers out of my fridge and went to the front veranda and sat there and waited for the police to come because I was on an island. There's no need to run. And I knew the cops personally.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Then
you threw him over the balcony?
Oh, he went over the balcony. It was quite interesting at the court case. My solicitor said, bring your toothbrush. The best I can do is 3 months. You're on 17 jailable offences.
Oh.
And I went in there and there's a senior type judge sitting there doing paperwork at his desk and he looked up and went, oh, it is you. He's a fan of mine. We don't know this. We're having a good laugh and a chat. My solicitor said nothing right through the whole thing. He said, tell me about the willful damage, Mr. Franklin. I said, Your Honour, I all I did was dismantle anything I'd ever mantled. I don't even know if mantle's a word, but we had a laugh. And then the man-hating female prosecuting policewoman said, Your Honour, these are very serious charges. One of them's breaking and entering. And the judge looked at her and used these exact words without missing a beat. He said to her, it was his own fucking house. So he got it. That'll be on Townsville Court records.
Really?
I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah. At the end, he said 2 years probation and hit the gavel. And my solicitor spoke for the first time and said, Your Honour, my client travels overseas for work. A criminal conviction might jeopardise his chance to travel overseas. So he hit the gavel down again and said 2 years probation, no conviction recorded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he knew you.
Yeah. I walked out. My solicitor's going, how the fuck did we do that? He was amazed.
You were going to do 3 months with criminal and you got 2 months.
Two years probation.
2 years.
So just reporting to a probation officer once a month for 2 years.
How was that here?
They made it fairly difficult for me in Townsville. I had to get approval from them in the form of paperwork to travel interstate to work.
Ugh. Every time?
Yeah, every time.
So annoying.
And they started knocking them back saying, you're traveling interstate excessively. I said, well, that's what I do for work. If I don't travel interstate, I'm going to be unemployed. You're meant to be rehabilitating me. Gainful employment should be rehabilitation, so let me work. But I left court, had to go and report and register at the probation offices and let them know right away that in 11 days' time the Defence Force were taking me to the Middle East to do shows in Afghanistan. They weren't going to let me out of Queensland. I had to leave the country. And they said, there's no way that's going to happen at this little Queensland probation office. And then a colonel from Canberra in the Defence Force rang them up and said, I don't know if you've heard of the Australian Defence Force, but our little government organisation's a little bit bigger than yours. And if you don't think you've got enough days to do the paperwork for Chris to go to overseas with us, I suggest you start working nights because he's fucking coming. And so I went to Afghanistan thinking I'd had a win. When I came back to report to them, they just hated me for it. So they made the next 2 years hell. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird with those people that you're beholden to where it's like you can win a small battle, but it's just going to be worse for
you. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And right at the end, my last reporting I'd missed because I was overseas once again for the Defence Force. I was only in East Timor. But
You've been there, East Timor?
Yeah.
You did shows in East Timor?
Yeah. Yeah. For the Australian troops, Australian and New Zealand troops.
Dude, that's my favorite country in the world.
It's a great place, isn't it? Yeah.
And none of it's built up.
$1.60 for cigarettes, a packet of cigarettes. Australian made cigarettes that we pay $36 for or $1.60.
How? With government stipends?
Australian government taxes.
And they take them off for that?
Yeah. Mm. They send them to the poorer country.
How much do you guys pay for them?
We pay, for the cigarettes I smoke here, $36. I paid...
$36 for what?
One packet of 25.
$36?
That's cheap. If you go to a petrol, a gas station or a 7-Eleven, you could pay up to $42 for them.
So it's a $1.50 per cigarette?
Pretty much, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
That's everywhere in Australia or just...
The cigarettes, the government have made a plan where the cigarettes go up every 6 months in Australia.
Just to try to get people to stop smoking?
Yeah.
So can you buy your own tobacco and roll it yourself?
You can buy the pouch tobacco, but you can't buy... They call chop chop here that the Asians sell in the markets and things like that. That's illegal to buy that because Lucy's. The government's not getting any take on it.
Oh, yeah.
They know that addicted smokers aren't going to give up smoking, so they put it up every 6 months and just get more and more money for the government.
And you know what they do? It's all about people who, like... The non-smokers don't give a shit about smokers,
no,
so they don't
right.
fight. So then it's like only the smokers care, and then they always fall back on like, well, you really shouldn't be smoking anyway. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I know I shouldn't be, but like,
yeah, I think England have a rule I read somewhere, which is the smartest way to do it. They set a date where if you were born before that date, say 1st of January 2000, if you were born before that date and you were a smoker, you were allowed to buy smokes. Anyone after that date was not allowed to buy smokes. So the smokers will eventually die out.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it.
And
then it's like
not
you're not changing some... Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't get involved in this.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, that's a smart way to do it. We have different... Like in New York, the cigarettes are like 15, 20 bucks per pack.
Yeah.
American. But in LA, it's like 5 or 6.
Yeah, right. That's weird in the same... Is that state taxes or...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess New York is way more crooked than California.
Yeah, right.
So wait, so East Timor, $1.60?
For the Australian-made cigarettes that I smoke, $16 a carton. But our customs only allow you to bring one packet of duty-free back in.
Where'd you go on Timor-Leste?
Sorry, Timor-Leste, I went to Dili, predominantly, Dili. Yeah, mm-hmm. where the bases were. Yeah.
Did you go to cockfights there?
No. We were
you missed out.
Hosted by the Defence Force, so we were on a base there and went to other places where the Defence were in and around Dili. And then we went out to an amazing place, an orphanage, just up in the hills that the Australian Army had helped rebuild, and that they'd turn
the
up
hills
every
of Dili?
Time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I bought a big bag of soccer balls, and we took them up for the kids, and the kids put on a concert for us, and the entertainers that went for the troops put on an impromptu acoustic show for the kids. I couldn't do anything because I'm not going to say fuck in front of the kids. I'm not a family-friendly show. But
I love that when they ask guys like you and I, where it's like, can you do anything clean? You're like... Honestly, no.
Nah,
you're just going to lose your job if you hire me. I just don't think it's smart for any party here for me to do this.
I'll go up and kick the soccer ball around with the kids. That'll be fun. Yeah,
I'll be pleasant in person, but that's a horrible thing to hear on stage. Mm. Wow, I've never met anyone else who's been there.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know you'd been there.
Yeah. Mm. I went like a year ago now, actually.
Right. I was probably 18 months to 2 years ago.
Wow.
No, it was before I'd met you, wasn't it? So it's at least 3.5 years ago.
And everyone assumed I was Australian because they don't know the difference in accents.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's all they know is Australian whites, you know?
Yeah. The big statue of Jesus there that the Indonesians gave as a gift before they came in and burnt the place down.
Oh, the history there where they fucking destroyed
and
that place.
They had the Jesus pointing towards Jakarta. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I didn't know that
exactly
part.
At the Indonesian capital.
So they can say, like, Jesus looks at us?
Yeah. Yeah. The locals, the East Timorese, don't like it. They don't go near it.
They go. Some of them go.
Right. Oh, that's the history.
Because they're so religious.
Told. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they've kept it where it's like... Mm.
Did you hear the story? As the Indonesians were pulling out of East Timor, they filled all the fire trucks with kerosene and just drove down the street spraying all the houses with kerosene and setting them alight as they left. Burnt the place to the ground.
I didn't know that part. I knew they destroyed the roads.
Mm.
The roads were the worst in the world that I've been to. I've been to horrible places, and I've never experienced anything even close to the road. In Dili, okay, but anything outside.
Yeah. Mm.
You're fucked. On any, like, trucks have to stop to like 1K an hour just to go into these giant potholes and come back up.
Right.
At least with a motorbike, you got a chance to swerve in and out, but like...
Like I said, we were predominantly Dili, but the amount of traffic with no sort of lanes to stay in or whatever was still amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I love that place.
Yep.
I was thinking of going back on the way back from here, just go back and see some more cockfights.
If you go through Darwin, it's just Darwin. a light aircraft across. Mm-hmm. It's just a propeller plane.
Darwin and Bali is the only flights there.
Mm.
Yeah, I went up to this giant mountain, and they said on super clear days, you could see Australia.
Yeah, wow.
From this, like, the highest mountain they have.
Yeah, right.
You see, I forget what it's called. Oh, that's cool. How long were you there for?
2 weeks, I think. Yeah. So either a week or 2 weeks. I can't remember. It was a while ago, but yeah.
Did you ever go to the island across Aotearoa Island?
They flew us across in a helicopter to an island.
Really?
The military. Yeah. I don't know what the island was called, but it was just a short flight.
Right from Delhi? It's probably Aotearoa.
Yeah. And then we, on the way back, did a lap around the giant Jesus statue as well. I was shitting myself. I hate flying, especially. It's the first time in a helicopter. No wings. I was petrified.
Do you really hate flying?
I am
so bad. What a weird
job
to choose.
I am so bad at flying.
What a weird job to choose. Mm. Why do you hate it so much?
I didn't know I hated it till I started touring.
You're a Navy boy. You want to just float everywhere.
Ironically, Michelle's complete opposite. We've got a ferry that goes over to Tasmania, and she won't get on the ferry because her biggest fear is getting swept overboard on a boat. So if I take the ferry, she'll fly over and meet me over.
Swept over by like a giant wave. It's just going to come and wash everybody off. That's funny. I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, ironically, we'll probably both die when her plane crashes into my ferry.
Yeah. That would be a great ending. Oh, that's hilarious. That's great. All right, so you do gigs out there for the military.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was talking about, the probation. That was right at the end. And I was waiting for that form to be filled in to allow me to leave Queensland that I had to do every time I left. And there was one time previously where the form wasn't quite ready and they said, go and we'll fax it down to you. And I thought that would happen. So I left on the sad day with the military, and I rang them up as soon as I was in East Timor and said, look, I'm just in East Timor. I want to give you a number to fax it. You're in East Timor. How dare you leave without the form? You're in big trouble. Blah, blah. And I said, look, I'm not a school kid. Don't yell at me over the phone. I said, I'll be back Monday. I'll come in. You can talk to me then. Fucking settle down. I'm here. You're going to put me on probation longer. I won't come back. Fuck you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're just incentivizing me to keep going.
Yeah.
It's cheap out here, motherfucker. I could just stay.
Yeah. So I got a letter from the bosses that took me over there and explained that they'd let me go previously and to Melbourne. So
are those good gigs, the Australian military gigs?
They are. They're great. You don't get the money that the Europeans get for doing their country. Like the English comics were getting 10 grand a gig or something when they went over to the Middle East. We get they just label it per diems, $300 a day, which for every day they use you though. So if you go for 11 days, you've got almost $3,500. And
that's not bad.
There's a day before you go.
Even if there's no shows, they're still giving
that's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Before you go and do a medical at a specified place, and I'll pay you $300 for that day as well because I've used you for that day. And
what, to get checkups to make sure you're allowed?
Yeah, make sure you're right to go.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Dental, they'll do the dental checkup, but any work you need to
pay
get
for yourself.
Done. Yeah. And
that means it's free plus $300, free like medical exams and dental exams.
Yeah. Mm. It's good to get a checkup. The dental this time, I needed 4 fillings. How much was it? $300, $250 a filling. I had to get the bloody dentist. All he had to do, I was going for 11 days. He just had to tick the box that said, I don't think there'll be any trouble while he's over there. He saw the dollar sign and ticked that he needs some work. So I've had to go back and personally pay for all this.
Get a grand worth of fucking work done?
Yeah. Mm.
Fucking dentist. They're the only ones insurance won't cover.
Yeah. I was going to go to a different dentist just to piss him off.
To spite him. You should do that. Yeah. That's what I do with my car where they're like, oh, it needs this. I'm like, okay, I'll go to someone else to get that done, not fucking you. And I'll see if they find the same shit you happen to find.
Yeah.
Mm. This floor mat's worn out. It's going to cost you another $6,000. And I'm like,
The work did need doing, and it's done now, and I would probably never have got it done if I hadn't have been forced to. So
I was just thinking that I haven't been to the dentist in like a fucking decade, and my brother-in-law is a dentist.
Right.
So I'm like, I just got to go and do it.
My closest sister was a dental nurse. She hasn't done that profession for a long time, but through my childhood, I was forced to the dentist all the time. So,
Yeah. I remember the first time not brushing my teeth before the dentist, just to be like, well, I want to see what I really have in there. And the dentist says, you have sticky breath, asshole. Just wash your fucking teeth before I have to look in your mouth.
How many dentists have bad breath when they're in
there? Oh, it's the worst. So they're that close, and you're like, oh. And they're just breathing on you. It's not blowing on you. It's just like soft, hot breath.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and they ask you questions, and you got to like answer. But like, I can't answer now.
Three bags of cotton wool balls in your mouth.
Ask me yes or no questions, and that's it.
But they know what you're saying. How was your day? Oh, really? You went swimming this morning, right?
What are you going to major in university? Oh, yeah. Poli sci, cool.
So the Melbourne comedian Chris Bennett does this joke. His father was a doctor. He said, when he died, we had to take his will to a pharmacist to work out who got what. That's the only one.
The only one's going to read it. Yeah. Fuck. Well, all right, Chris. This is cool. Let's maybe wrap up. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
No, what else do you want to add about Bogans that people don't really know?
We're nice people. The closest comparison in America would be the redneck, I guess. But our view of rednecks from here in Australia is they're quite racist.
There's a difference. Okay, people don't know. There's a difference between white trash and rednecks.
Right. That's what I would need to find out.
Yeah. Like rednecks, hillbillies, those are the more racist ones.
Yeah.
But like they're all sort of like, they all live together.
Yeah, they're all related.
But rednecks just like going trucking, going mudding and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, so they are more like a bogan.
Yeah.
So yeah, rednecks are a good comparison then.
Are bogans racist at all?
Some can be.
Right.
It's same of any class of people, you know? I was taught at a very early age by my grandmother, who we have since found out was half Aboriginal, that... not to be racist, I must have said something of four or five, and she pulled me aside. And her way of explaining how not to be racist was she said to me as a five-year-old boy, don't be rude to them. Fuckwits come in all colours.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hate everyone.
Yeah. No, but you know, every race has fuckwits and nice people, basically. So even we have fuckwits. So, yeah, that's how it was explained to me as a child, and I've tried to live by that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, when you break it down, it's like, oh, look at this race doing this. You're like, no, just look at this guy doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
You just hate one guy. It's way better.
It's like that whole Islamic thing. To me, Muslims are like Samsung phones. There's only a few fucking it up for the rest of them.
It's 90% good. Yeah, yeah. 10% shitty out of the box.
People get scared when you get on planes with them.
Yeah, that's right. They're all blowing up.
Only a few of them.
Oh, what terrible press when they said, if you have this Samsung phone, you must turn it off before you
Samsung
get on this plane.
Samsung Note 7.
Yeah.
In Australian domestic, you weren't allowed to travel with them.
It's not even allowed to. It's nope. Mm. It's just too much of a danger of blowing up a fucking plane.
Yeah, crazy.
And who would buy it after that?
Yeah. Oh, they very quickly came out with the Samsung Note 8.
It's like, we're
this
done
one's
that.
Good.
Sorry.
This one's good. Try
figure
this
it
one.
Out. Yeah.
I'm never up with the times. I've got a Note 5. I'm
really?
10 years behind or something.
I got a shitty flip phone.
I saw that anything. The other day. You're going, I didn't get those texts. Oh, yes, I did.
I did. You know what it was? It's because you started with the same thing I started. Would you be able to? Read it as my text. Saying, would you be able to come do this? I'm sorry about that. And I was like, no, fuck, this thing didn't go through. I was like, oh, no, for sure it did. No, you absolutely did write me two texts. My bad.
Get a new phone. It'll tell you you've got a new text.
Yeah. I actually had an unread text notification that I was trying to look through my text. I'm like, this is the fucking phone fucking up. Get off this fucking notification thing. I've checked everything. And then it was just down there unchecked.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sorry about that. Well, I'm glad
that's
did
fine.
It.
That's fine. The show survived without you. It would have been great to have you there, but it survived.
How were they? It was late
fantastic.
Shows.
We had a ball.
You do them every year?
Late night show in a public bar, free entry. So 90% of the crowd are there for a drink and not for the show anyway. And it's like herding cats for the first 10 minutes. You just got to get them all focused and listening, and then away
at
we
the
go.
Expert?
Yeah. It's a great little pub.
Where can people find you online or
just Chris Franklin on Facebook. At Bloke Franklin is the Twitter. I don't do Instagram or any of that. I'll leave that to the kids.
There you go. At some point, you just got to be like, this one's past me.
If I get on there, I'm going to find out what my kids are up to. So I don't want to know.
They have all these, I've talked to parents now. They have this thing called Finstagram, which is fake Instagram. So you have one for your parents and all them. And then you have one just for your closest friends under a different name.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, here's where I can be my real self.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I might do that.
So your kids can't see you.
Yeah. I'm leading. They've all got kids of their own. They have to stay home now. I'm out till 6 a.m.
You should have a Instagram, which is you in a suit eating a salad. Just like, nothing again. Just doing
just a normal life.
Yeah, a picture of you going to sleep with a fucking sleeping cap on at 10 p.m. Just good old Chris living the clean life.
Party!
Yeah. Like, hold on a second, you guys. I got to post this picture before.
The actual Instagram, snort and coke off tits.
Yeah. And then Sir Christopher Franklin III.
Hey, kids, wish you were here.
All right, buddy. You touring anywhere near Australia recently or soon?
I've been everywhere. Obviously, Melbourne for the last month. The start of May, I've got 10 days in Brisbane, in and around the suburbs of Brisbane and the sit-down comedy club there. And I haven't looked past there. I'm just looking forward to the 10 days off after this.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
September, heading to Canada. I might try and get through LA while I'm over there. So nice. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
You should.
I was over there years ago. We made a movie that never got released called The Bloke Goes to Hollywood. And co-starred and directed by Corey Feldman. We became good mates over there.
Is he the one that died?
No, that was Corey Haim.
Oh, okay.
It's the other one that's still going. Yeah.
Still out there kicking.
Yeah, so it had Rowdy Roddy Piper in it. Yeah, but we filmed for 11 days there, just filming external shots to show I was there, and then it never got finished.
Never came out.
No.
Oh,
I got to smoke weed in the Hollywood Hills with Corey Feldman, so that was pretty cool.
Dude, right, that alone is fucking cool as shit.
Oh, yeah. Right when my mother called me as well. What are you doing? I'm having dinner.
Living the dream, Mom. Just eating salad, so to speak.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up. Sorry, I keep talking.
Yeah, no problem. I love talking. All right, Franklin, it's been fucking great.
Thanks. Yeah, cheers, man.
Let me do it. Cheers.
I hate the new age, guys. I'm a chauvinist. I live on beer and pies. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath. Haven't brushed me teeth. Yesterday I lied, but all me mates gave me a real good alibi. Thanks, guys. I really went out drinking. I told you I was at work. Don't ask me for commitment, 'cause it's something I will shirk. I'm a bloke, I'm a knocker, and I really love your knockers. I'm a labourer by day. I'd piss up all me pay watching footy on TV. Just feed me more VB, just pour my beer and get my smokes and go away. Or take me as I am. This may mean you'll have to fetch another can. Rest assured, if I start to make you breakfast, I'm going to extremes. But tomorrow I'll get shit-faced, and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bloke, I'm a yobbo, and me best mate's name is Robbo. Winfield is me cigarette. I dress in flannelette, share a singlet that is blue. Throw in a few tattoos, you know you wouldn't want me any other way. Got me figured out, the season's already changing. I think it's cool when I act like a tool, and me mates try to shame me. I'm a bloke, I'm a knocker, and I really love your knockers. I'm a labourer by day. I piss up all me pay watching footy on TV. Just feed me more VB, just pour my beer and get my smokes and go away. I'm a bloke, I'm a yobbo, and me best mate's name is Robbo. Winfield is me cigarette. I dress in flannelette, share a singlet that is blue. Throw in a few tattoos, you know you wouldn't want me any other way.
That's the episode. Oh, and how good that it is, because I am out of battery. It's about to start clicking off. That was Chris Franklin. I hope you guys enjoyed him. I wanted to have him on here for a while. It was interesting to talk to him, for sure. He's such a fucking weirdo. I mean, he is an original, you guys. There is nothing false about him. He is an original. He doesn't remember his stories because he doesn't think that they're anything of value. He thinks they're just normal. The way I didn't think anything Judaism related was that abnormal, like no one would want to hear about this. Then people like would start to hear about it. Like, what was your life? And I'm like, oh yeah. So only now that I'm like 20 years out, where I can finally see how crazy it was, and not for just like common, which is what this hour is. Ari Shaffir, Jew. That was Ari Shaffir, heretic in Australia, but I didn't think of the new name soon enough. So, but it's Ari Shaffir, Jew, that you will see in its first full unveiling in Edinburgh. But before that, what you want to do is go see me in Washington, D.C. or San Francisco the first weekend of June or the third weekend of June. Fourth. June 1st, 2nd, 3rd. For D.C., the Improv. Oh, yeah, you want to get tickets for that. And then June 21st, 22nd, 23rd at Cobb's in San Francisco. One, two weeks in between. Second, third, fourth week, yeah. Yeah. That's the episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. I saw this chick in Brisbane. I was going to the I mean, you got to give it up to somebody. When you see somebody show like real fortitude, you got to give it up. At a red light, white dude was driving. They drive on the right side of the road, passengers on the left. And I saw his Asian, Chinese, I think. I don't know what she was to him. They seemed around the same age. I'm going to guess girlfriend. And she was in the passenger seat, bawling, just crying, holding on to like a towel or shirt and sort of like shakingly putting it to her face. By the way, I'm going to be paying off the pube beard bet on Legion of Skanks. May 9th? Yep. Bawling, just crying. It looked like a breakup because I looked at the guy and he had no emotion on his face. Didn't seem upset. Seemed like if you took the woman out of the front seat, like erased her from the picture, seemed like a guy just waiting for the light to change. The weirdest thing is when your girlfriend is bawling, crying, it looked like he was breaking up with her. To be honest, that's what I figured. He was breaking up with her. But like to just have no emotion on your face, like this guy was done. He was like, eh, it ain't going to work. Oh, I don't care anymore. So you can cry all you want. It doesn't really matter. He wasn't even mad at her. He was just like, "This, you got no power over me anymore." What a fucking baller, this guy. And you had to keep your hand, his left hand, the hand closest to the woman, on the gear shift because it was a fucking manual transmission. He had to be ready to shift, to be using his feet and hand coordination in unison to make an automobile move while she's fucking crying her eyes out. What a fucking man this guy is. What a fucking hero. No emotion. Not be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Just done. I mean, what else could it have been? A fucking relative of hers died or her dog died? He'd have to show some emotion. Nothing. It was a breakup for sure. Oh, right in the corner of fucking something and something in Brisbane. God damn. I mean, you should have seen this lady crying. Crying. Guys, go to arishafir.com for tickets to my shows in DC and Australia. Nope. San Francisco. June 1st, 2nd, 3rd in DC. June 21st, 22nd, 23rd in San Francisco. And go to arithegreat.com or arishafir.com, whatever, for all the information about these podcasts every single time. I hope you guys are enjoying them. You should go to the website. One, because I want you to see my dates, but also because I put on extra features on there usually when I have time. So, like, if I have time, I'm going to put this fucking Mel Brown's AFL fights on there. The best of. Go. God, I can't wait to go scuba diving. It's going to be so fucking fun. Yeah, I got to shave my beard right now. Should I shave it all the way off and get some sun on there? Yeah, maybe. Go. 3-day... 2-night live aboard. This is what Tom Segura should have been with me, by the way. That was the plan. I switched around Brisbane instead of being in between, I guess, Melbourne and Adelaide. I switched Brisbane out so that I would do it when he was doing Perth, and then he was going to come this way to the east coast of Australia We were going to go scuba diving. The Great Fucking Barrier Reef. But he canceled for some shitbox movie. What the fuck? What's the name of his special? I think whatever it is what he should fucking feel about canceling his gig. I mean, how are the people of Australia going to trust you, Tom? How are they ever going to trust you again? You've canceled twice now. What's your latest specials called? I feel like it goes perfectly. Tom Segura special. What's that title? With how you should feel about canceling on me and this fucking great trip I'm about to go on. Stand-up specials. Here we go. The real white girl's cornrow could play a normal, mostly stories. Oh, god damn, he's had a lot. How'd I be a grown-up? No. Disgraceful. Yes, Tom Segura. Disgraceful on Netflix. Also, you guys have all watched both parts of my double special, right? Childhood and adulthood. Most people said adulthood, the second part, was their favorite. It had less of a through line. It was more of a like a under the current theme, under the radar theme they had to think about to get. But yeah, I don't disagree with people. But watch both parts. Anyway, Tom Segura, you're missing out heavy. Should have been you on here. You cannot eat 40 donuts. You're out of your fucking mind. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode. Right? Yeah, right. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 324. Last of the Bo Geekins with Chris Franklin. The last of my batteries as well. What a fucking great trip this Australia gig has been, man. It's fucking amazing what I can do. I mean, not like, I don't mean like ability-wise. I mean like what I've been afforded to do. To be able to see the world. To go to beaches in three different cities in Australia. And go on a liverboard on the 4th. You can't go to the beach in Cairns, I just found out. Cairns is spelled C-A-I-R-N-S. Possibly two N's, I'm not sure. You can't go to the beach because it's fucking crocodile infested. That's why you couldn't go on the beach in southern East Timor either. It shares the same ocean. Timorese Ocean. Crocodiles everywhere. But I went to the water. But I went on the beach in Perth, a nude beach. Oh, my God. All right, I'll share that next time. That nude. Oh, somebody remind me to share about that nude beach. Oh, it was fun. Perth. Adelaide. One of my favorite things to do is go to the beach and then go straight from the beach to the airport. Smelling like the beach. It's fucking great. I did that. And then Melbourne to the Bushwangers Bay with Ryan Cator. What a fucking fun time. Honestly, I mean, you step back once in a while and you realize that. And by the way, there's a lot of backpackers here. I don't know what it is. I think if you're under 26 or under 32 or something like that, you can work. You can come and get like your work visa, a temporary work visa for Australia, like a 6-month visa. So a lot of backpackers do that. They come here and they don't just like stay in hostels. They get like shared houses and they try living in Australia for 4 or 6 months. They have a life here. And then they go from place to place. You know, they're like, oh, I'll spend 2 months in this place. And I'll move on to the next city. Or they'll take trips. Fuck. It really makes me want to get out there again. I'm getting the itch, you guys. I'm not going anywhere yet, but like, I'm getting the itch. I can feel it. When you have the responsibility of like being in the road places, but then luckily I had 4 days in between shows where I could just like do what I wanted to do. And that felt good, felt freeing, made me open up more socially. So goddamn good to see the world and travel. The problem is, as Ryan said, Australia, he said, was a lot like England, Northern England, and a lot like, I felt the same way, like America. It's these Western English-speaking countries that like, there's slight differences, but it's nearly the same. Asia is foreign. It is a new experience. I assume South America would be similar. I don't know. I assume some other parts of the world would be similar, but yeah, I mean, similar to Asia, not similar to America. But Australia, that is the problem. Weird birds, weird animals. Karoko, karoko. And yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's finish. Let me fucking wrap this up and go shave my fucking beard. Get some sun on my face for once. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 324. Last of the Bohegans with Chris Franklin. Over and out. By the way, here's what I got coming up. Just so you know, in terms of podcasts. Did one with Nick Kappa. Maybe one of the worst interviews I've ever done. This guy is a young comic in Melbourne who's very funny. And he was giving me all sorts of ways to fucking push him to one topic. And I just didn't do it. It was just such a terrible interviewer job on my part. You'll see it. He's still very funny. But like, oh, he brought up all these interesting stuff. I was like, oh, cool. Next. And I'm like, I forgot what I was fucking doing as an interviewer. I mean, I'm not perfect for sure. But thank you everyone for coming out who did. It was fucking great. Wait, what was I going to say? Something else I was going to say. Yeah, who knows? Oh, what I got coming up. I got a couple album reviews, album commentary ones coming out. And then... I just got a bunch. I got a bunch of them coming. I should just like tape like 20 so I have them. I won't though. Ladies and gentlemen, Archface Captain, episode 324, Last of the Bohegans with Chris Franklin. Over and out.
Copped the brunt of one neighbour's fury. It was around 10:30 last night when a long-running neighbourhood dispute on Wright Road turned violent.
Come outside, jumped in my car in, gone and ripped it up the road. Nice big burnout, and then we've had some crazy old bastard from down the road come and shoot at us pretty much. Pumped two into me windscreen, one into the radiator, one into the bumper, and then one into the house. One at me while I was on the deck.
A 61-year-old man who lives two doors up had had enough of 23-year-old Shane Tenhagus and his hooning ways.
Was he saying anything to you?
You mother think you're deadly? And that's it. That's all he said, and then he's just shot everything in sight.
Shane chased the neighbour home, but that's when it took a nastier turn. Shane claims the neighbour pointed and fired a bullet at him.
You decided to chase him?
Yeah, I did.
Why's that?
I had a kid inside here. I was going to belt the shit out of him too and come up here and shoot my house while I got a kid inside. That's just unacceptable. Even though we did a burnout, it's still unacceptable.
Shane's two-year-old had been sleeping. His partner was also in the house.
What was going through your head when your car's getting fired?
What a crazy What a Fruit Loop. Who does this, you know? That's Fruit Loop. Yeah. Honestly, I got no car now.
Shane copped a wound to his toe, but no serious injuries. The car and its contents a little more worse for wear.
They might be crash resistant, but they definitely ain't bulletproof.
Neighbours have told Nine News that burnouts are constantly being performed along this street, and they understand why the 61-year-old man finally exploded.
We got a lot of traffic coming down here. We've got kids and school buses and animals, so... Now, I can understand why people are getting a bit annoyed. Yeah.
But Shane says he's not the only culprit.
Burnouts happen out here all the time. It's a regular thing. It's not me. It's not just me. There's a lot of young people out here that do it. And I'm getting shot.
And it's not the first time Shane's hobby has put him in the firing line. Only last week, his floodlight copped a bullet from the same disgruntled neighbour.
They're ringing me up going, there's someone here shooting the house. And then I came back to no window and the floodlight blown.
Why did he do it that time?
Mate did a burning outside.
A fad that's sure to live on in this street. Police have arrested the 61-year-old man, but he's yet to be charged. Hannah Dawkins, 9 News.